listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Space invaders. Well, this is, 1:17 a.m. on the 6th of August, 2015. Would you believe it? Old mate Amaretto has given me live stream access. I'll tell you what I haven't been given access to. There was an after party happening tonight. They didn't want to have anything to do with me. I don't know what is going right or wrong in this universe. This flat or curved universe. But I did say to Ab what I would do one time. In my hands. Putting that together is something fun. And it was a audio that I did with old mate here. Now, I'll see if I can do it at this time at night. And if my wife comes out and starts yelling at me, well, it's my bad, isn't it? Okay, here we go. Listen to this.
Fuck love.
What do I use to cradle everything?
Hallahan, are you there?
Hey, how you doing, Rollo?
All right, man. Just give me one sec.
Enjoyed.
I'm recording this, so you're on it.
Cool.
You ever play Space Invaders as a youngster?
I certainly have.
Okay. Okay, so here we go. I'm pretty sure it's Fakeologist Stream 3. You clicked onto it, sweetheart? Yeah. Okay. 2212, check 12. And is that me? Is it live? Is it live stream or what? Well, try the live stream 2. But try number 2 there. I thought this TeamSpeak went out on, it says Fakeologist Streamer 3 here. 2212. Hello. Just checking before we throw out some action. No, it's not me either. Well, he did say that it is out live, but maybe not. I thought the live stream went out live, but maybe I'm wrong. Offline? Yeah, try that one. 2212, check 12. Hello, it's Rollo here. You can't hear me? Maybe he's been burnt. All right, I'll just send it to the... he's got a MySpace or something. Thought it might be fun to do it this way. There you go. Yeah. He always does that. Yeah, but I do things differently. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I just sort of went through to the live stream, but yeah. All right then. Yep. Okay, take one. Take two. Check 12. Okay, so 6:21 a.m. in the a.m. And I'm going to do a take two on this. Aberrado.info. Fakeologist.com. Ask me to upload this. I've just listened to most of it. It's pretty awesome. There's a bit of Fakeologist talk in there, and there's a bit of awesomeness, a bit of drunkenness. There's a bit of like this is me and O'Halloran. We've never met before, and I had this a rotten thing happen to me tonight, but I just said, Let's put this out there. So, here you go. This is Rollo and O'Halloran. And I dedicate this to Lenny Levy Hume. He's a sweet guy.
Yeah, it is. Fuck love.
Fuck love.
Hallahan, are you there?
Hey, how you doing, Rollo?
All right, man. Just give me one sec.
Enjoyed. Yeah, sure. Cool.
I'm recording this, so you're on it.
Cool.
Did you ever play Space Invaders as a youngster?
I certainly have.
Ripping, partying on my own, and who comes and joins me? Oh, my God. It's the coffee man himself. Oh, hello. How are you, man?
How you doing, Rollo? Yeah, it was either come on to TeamSpeak chat or watch another Flat Earth video, one or the other.
Man,
so,
I mean, you're welcome, man. Have you ever heard my voice before?
Ever heard of what?
My voice. I mean, do you know who I am?
Oh, yeah.
Roller.
Yeah, I was listening to you on KM the other day.
Oh, good, good. I was a little crackly.
I heard.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get it right, but okay. What did she say? My precious little girl, she said, she hadn't had the setup right for a couple of weeks, and it fucked up, and... Hey, dude. I liked listening to you talk to Ab about coffee, and Ab saying,
"Oh yeah,
I could not give two shits about coffee."
Oh, you did. Yeah, I'm okay.
Would you want to talk about 9/11 or what?
No, actually, I'm on vacation this week.
All right.
Doing nothing but sitting around in my apartment doing nothing.
Right.
And I just finished watching the latest Fetzer False Flag Weekly.
Oh, yes.
And now that I'm thoroughly depressed.
Get over it. I've been there, done that. How old are you, Halloran, if you don't mind?
Almost 52. I'll be 52.
52. I'm 45. 52. 45. You're in New York, all right?
Yeah. Where are you, Rollo?
Yeah, I'm down under in Australia.
Australia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on your side of the planet.
For us. Yes. You want to talk about that? I don't want to talk about that, but you can talk about that if you want to. I'm recording this.
It's okay. Are you a coffee lover?
I heard you and Ab talking and grabbing the great beans. The beans that we get down here are wild, and they go through an animal. Yeah, they shit them out. You know, they're the best beans.
I
understand that. The best beans have gone through an animal and had to be shut out. Yes.
Yeah, they actually sell that here. Very expensive.
It tastes nice, doesn't it, though?
I won't go near that coffee. So
why not?
That is the most vile concept.
Well, come on, dude. If you ever drank alcohol,
I have.
Well, there you go. Most alcohol is yeast shit. Yeast takes the sugar and shits
right
it out.
Yeah, I've made my own vodka, and you're absolutely right about that. Is that it's the waste product of yeast bacteria.
Yeah, we go.
And yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So I'm kind of a hypocrite.
Get over it. get over yourself.
Hey, yeah, there's certain
I'd love to taste your vodka.
Yeah. Oh, it's my vodka. I have a name for my brand. It's called Brain Damage. Drink it. What you do is I just build pure ethanol and you add it to like your favorite tea or something. And it's so strong you can set it on fire. Yeah. And what you do is you add like a tablespoon or something to your favorite tea. And it's not like regular alcohol where you slip slowly into an inebriated state. It just hits you like a brick.
All right.
And so I call it brain damage.
Is that the way you prefer to go? I'd rather slip slowly into it rather than not.
I'm not a big drinker. I don't drink that much.
Okay.
But you'd never know it by my chats with Ab. Because I've been on vacation, I've been drinking beer. And near the end of the interviews with Ab, I start slurring my words.
Yeah, you're right, man. I listened to Tom Dalfrey the other day, and he was talking so fast. Where are you going with this, Tom? How many lines of coke have you done today, Tom?
Yeah. It's really funny.
He's done it.
I've got that interview downloaded. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
You're right. Hey, dude, you're not interrupting. Tom Dalfrey just is nervous and speaks quickly. He doesn't, as far as I'm aware, snort massive truckloads of cocaine up his nose, which is what I think I would be doing talking like that.
Are you sure you want to record this, Rollo? You may want to pause.
Why? Why would I want to pause it?
When you make an illegal drug admission, you may want to pause the recording.
I have shoveled so much cocaine up my nose. I wonder I hadn't stopped. Halloran,
yeah.
I'm not asking you for admission. But if you've ever done cocaine, you'd know. It makes you all fast, and you must know this shit. Surely in New York.
There's a ton of that stuff there
when I was there
I've
last.
I've never actually partaken, but I've heard.
Bill Clinton, you know, he he took this spliff. He goes, I'm gonna put this spliff in my mouth, but I'm not gonna inhale. He was the coolest president ever.
Yeah, did he do that before or after Jennifer Flowers? That's the question.
I don't know what he did with Jennifer Flowers, but I don't think he ever shoved a cigar into Hillary.
Man, I got to tell you that is one strange marriage.
Hillary Rodham Clinton. Rodham.
Yeah.
Rodham.
Rodham.
He was kind of cute way back when. I'm talking about in the 70s. He was kind of cute.
As long as she can keep her mouth shut, she was just fine when she was younger. And she's not aging well.
She can't keep her mouth shut. That slut is just... Can I say slut? Yeah. He was the Secretary of State. That means she got all the power. She'd come over here and fucking... Well, she did. Came over here and muted us. I'm top dog around here. I've been muted because Hillary came down here. Every man in Australia has no balls. Still there, dude?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening.
Yeah, I was just making stupid jokes.
It's okay. You got a smile on my face, and I need a smile on my face after.
Well, I'll put a smile on your face. If I don't put a smile on your face, I'm not doing my fucking job.
Let's see. What are your particular interests?
9/11.
And 9/11 is one of your particular interests?
Absolutely, 100%. If we are talking, 9/11.
I was there. You must have heard my interview with Ab when I was when I told him that I was there on 9/11. I was on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Right.
Remember that conversation?
Now again, I've abused my body and my mind in the last few days. I remember you talking about coffee.
Oh God!
And I went. That was awesome. And then I remember Ab saying, I don't want to talk about coffee. I want to talk about 9/11. Okay.
9/11.
He wants to talk about 9/11. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Halloran.
That's okay.
I'm cutting you off. So your views on 9/11.
Well, you know, I was actually there watching the towers burn. This is the story that I told to Ab. I was on the New Jersey Turnpike. I was a truck driver at the time, and you know, I was watching them burn from across the Hudson, and I was pretty frightened. I was quite certain that the next thing that was going to happen was we were nuked. I was so frightened that you know, I had this, you know, estranged girlfriend. And I called her up immediately after I got home from work.
Right. Hey, did you actually see the collapses?
No, I didn't.
You're right.
Yeah, again, I went through this, but I'll go through.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'll just ask you pertinent questions because, like, K-Ham, we had a guy called David Weiss come on.
Yeah, I remember.
And a few other guys that have come on. And but you seem cool enough. And if you're a New Yorker, man, so the question I will ask you is, obviously, the rubble pile. Did you get to see the rubble pile?
No, I'm not a New Yorker. I am a native New Jerseyan.
Yeah.
And, I lived my entire life across the bay, but I have visited New York City very few times. It just so happens that I happened to get a delivery in Linden, New Jersey. And so on my way to the delivery, it was, you know, 8:45 in the morning, and so I was right there. You know, traffic had come to a complete stop, you know, to the point where the New Jersey Turnpike was a parking lot, and I actually had shut the truck
on Wednesday morning. You were right there, right?
I was right there
on Wednesday morning.
You know, I wasn't even sure it was a Wednesday.
What day? It was on Monday morning, right?
I don't even remember what day it was. You know, that's a really good question. I see 9/11 so many times, but I'm not even certain it was a friggin' Wednesday. What day of the week?
Yeah, well, I'm assuring you, it was a Wednesday morning when the towers came down.
Yeah, you know, that's a funny thing. That's, you know, that's I didn't even remember the day.
You know, I'll tell you a story that you'll never forget. I know exactly where I was.
Where were you?
I was in bed with my wife. I went to bed early. 9/11 didn't start here until about 11 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
And 11 o'clock in the evening on a Monday. 9/11 happened 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning on September 11.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I know it. I know all the facts. Okay. So yeah, if you don't Tuesday if you morning. Don't know what day it was, I yeah, question it was you, O'Hallahan. Now,
yeah.
I don't mean to be a bastard.
No, it's okay.
But don't be wishy-washy about this. Why don't you remember what day it was?
You know, that's a really great question. I just wiki'd it. It was actually Tuesday.
Well, it was Tuesday, yes.
No, but yeah, you know what? I didn't even know what day of the week it was. I got so used
to it. Yeah, but if 9/11 was this massive thing in the happened, how would you not remember what day it was?
Dude,
do you understand where I'm coming from here? And do you understand why I would question your veracity of anything that you have to say to me? You know what I mean?
It's okay. You're more than welcome to question it. My story is not that impressive. But, you know, I don't remember what day of the week it was. It was actually a Tuesday.
I know it was a Tuesday, but I said Wednesday, I said Monday, and you're wishy-washy all over that. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah,
we have a guy called Simon Shack. We have a guy called, what's his name? Hoi Polloi. Do you know those guys? Have you heard of these guys?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah? Do you know what they don't do?
What don't they do?
I'll tell you what they don't do is let anyone come anywhere near them. That like I know the David Weiss thing the other day was just an aberration. Don't let people come near them that are false flags or whatever you call them. So, O'Hallahan, why are you interested in this subject? And are you real or are you a paid? What do you call it what's the word for the paid like a vetter or something?
I don't know. PSYOP person?
Yeah, PSYOP person. Yeah, PSYOP person.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, dude. There's no way I could prove to you one way or the other than turning on my video camera. You want to do Skype video?
No, I don't. No, I don't, because I've been up all night. No, look, rubbish.
We can do Skype video. I mean, you can see my crappy apartment.
No. Hey, Hellhands. What's your favorite song in the world? You're 54. You must have a song from the early 80s. What about like a really cool early 80s song? I was just doing a fantastic piece of 9/11 just for myself. But yeah, come on.
Well, I can give you generalizations. There are modern songs that I really like.
Yeah.
I don't listen to music much anymore. I listen to music for a really long time. It's part of the awakening process that I've been involved in for many years. I've just seen music as just another facet of the machine. You know, it's just another facet of programming. I mean, it was just something the other day that was reading an article about the change in what the beats from four marked on YouTube 440 to something else.
Yeah.
What is it?
I know where you're going with that. I know where you're going with it. Yeah. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
I don't know you well enough. Yeah.
Okay.
To Apollo 440 or AP 440. No. I don't know you well enough for that yet. Give me an early 80s song that you love. Give me one.
All right.
Quickly, come on. An early 80s song.
All right. Running with the Devil.
There we go. Running with the Devil. I don't know it, but that's...
I'm sorry, Rollo. Say that again.
I don't know it, but I'll just type it. I don't know Running with the Devil. Oh, Van Halen. Here we go. We'll play that. All right. I'll be back with you. I'll finish.
Everyone's sticks together. Strong, so I'm getting together and keeping in.
Give it all.
Still here.
Oh, man. How awesome was that?
Amazing, amazing voice, huh? David Lee Roth. What a showman that guy was. Boy, that brought me back.
He had so much a showman. He had, like, he could flex his leg. Do legs 11 with that guy.
Hmm. Yeah, that dude had some amazing charisma.
But man, oh, what is burn out. Do you have it, dude?
I can barely hear you real well. Say it again.
Do you have charisma?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it depends on who you ask.
I think I turned my mic down the other day. What is my...
I'm going to turn you up.
All right. It's my bad. It's my end. You got to play a tune. I think I'm going to play... I got to play a Kiss song.
A Kiss song?
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, that goes way back. I was in middle school when that band was popular.
Oh, look, dude, I've got to take a break, but... It is so awesome. Hey, look, I'll be back. I'll be back. Okay, give me a sec. I've been interrupted. How you going, mate?
How are you?
Very well. Unreal.
Yeah.
Look, I promised Ab I would. I had two bottles of vodka and I spoke to a guy called O'Halloran, and I recorded it. I recorded the whole conversation.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, hold on. Let me just plug. Got the wrong plugs in here. Just one sec. You're a wonderful fellow. I know you, Unreal. I spoke to you many times. You're the French guy, right?
Exactly. I think we had a long conversation.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get better, but it's hard.
Ah, it's okay. It's okay. When I say it's not taking the piss out of you. I mean, I still hate French.
We should have.
I still hate French people. You know that? You know, I still hate French people. I hate eating frogs' legs and snails, and trying to speak French. But there's one person who is French that I love. You know who it is?
French Prime Minister.
No, what? Get fucked.
Oh, that's you, very nice to say. Yeah, thanks.
You, my friend. Yeah.
We had a long conversation at one of the New Year's Eve's.
We did.
Chats. It was really nice.
You remember?
Yeah, I remember very well.
Me too.
I might
go again.
It was the beginning of TeamSpeak at the time, I think. We were just starting to use TeamSpeak.
It could have been. It was joy. It was like Simon Shack was there and Ab and everyone. Yeah, it was a good time.
It was.
Yeah, good times. Yeah.
I actually just listened to the new album from Simon Shack, actually.
Okay.
Quite good.
Yeah. I thought. Just between you and me. I like his old stuff better than his new stuff.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of soundtracks for movies, so of course his soundtrack for September Clues is so good, it's ridiculous. It's really good.
It is ridiculously good, isn't it?
It's always on my iPod, actually, so I listen to it quite regularly.
It's like that bit when the plane goes through, yeah. And the
fact that you have some of the voices from that special day too is like it makes it so acute. It brings so many things to life.
Oh, massive! It's like I said to Kay Ham the other day. I said it's like the icing on the cake is September Clues is it's not like it only proves that. The whole thing was a joke. At least you have some beautiful music on the top. Yeah, the exactly. Icing on the cake.
Yes, Simon is a very talented musician.
Or him and social services. But was it him alone or was it the social service, the whole group? I don't know.
It's called the social services, the group, but I'm not sure if he has had several groups and that this is the second version of that group that he's done the second album with. I'm not sure. Must ask him, but it's a different album, this one. It's more...
But anyway, we're being recorded, Unreal. You understand?
I understand.
Yeah, they're listening.
I'm guilty.
You're guilty? What of? What did you do?
I don't know.
Are you a terrorist?
Kind of, because we're critiquing a little bit the new album of Simon here, so we are a bit...
You're terrorizing the new album.
Well, it's more like a huge praise for his first album as well. I think you'd agree that that's one of the highlights.
Oh my goodness, the music that comes off September Clues is just, I can listen to it all day long.
Me too.
In my big speakers in my house. Yeah, fantastic.
You got a good sound system so you can have it?
Massive. Nope. It will blow, it annoys neighbors two doors down.
Right. But what I was wondering is if he has released a lossless quality track of that album, if he has a version of it that's really high fidelity.
I can play it off even his YouTube, and it will still, because it just works well here in the system that I have. But yeah. He has given freely. Available. Remember that time that Hab and him did that sort of music show or something.
I do, and everything I did went wrong. His round and round in circles track. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, he's I don't want to be an apologist for bloody Simon Shack. I mean, he can talk for himself, but what can I say?
We say the same thing. His music is great, and some of it is just outstanding.
A bit where it goes, dun, 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 you know that bit in September Clues. Do you remember what part of that is?
I think one of my favorites would be Niagara, but
Niagara.
There's Grey. Yeah, and
explain to me how that goes.
Oh, I'm a bad singer, Rollo. Don't have me sing.
You're right, man.
Already I'm stuttering, so now you try to have me sing?
That's
shameless.
Hey, you're shameless. Oh, man, I'm more shameless. You want to see what I did last night to pay the rent? I'm a rent boy. I'm a rent boy. I had to take my trousers off. No, I'm only joking.
But it's hot in Australia anyhow, so you probably must take them off every night.
There you go. At least you got a sense of, yes, I had to take them off. I'm only joking, man.
Oh, I'm fine. Did you go to the schedule?
What I was actually doing, Unreal, was playing a... piece of audio that Ab asked me to replay, and I wasn't sure whether I should do it or not. And I listened to it, but I promised him I would. There was some 9/11 stuff in it, if you know what I'm talking about. I was talking to a lovely guy called O'Halloran.
I that name sounds familiar.
Mm. And I spoke to him for an hour and 19 minutes, would you believe it? 1 hour and 19. So 9/11 backwards.
And what was the circumstances for this conversation?
Well, that's very good. I was just sitting there on my own board, but I drank a bottle of vodka.
And you had two bottles.
And I was sitting there on TeamSpeak, and he came along. And I was recording some stuff for myself, and he came along, and we had a chat together. You know, it's that simple.
That's what TeamSpeak is for, huh?
But the new thing is, have you seen it on Ab's website? Is you can schedule meetings on TeamSpeak now.
It's great, and I actually took part in that schedule meeting list. So I actually put myself up for being on tonight at 11.
Right. So, you spoke to what's he call himself?
Fast Value.
Fast Value. That's it. Fast Value. Yeah, he's a great guy. I've spoken to him many times.
Yeah, brilliant.
Especially when it comes to moon landing bakery and that. He's big. He just bullshit.
Bullshit. So it's We learn as long as we live, but if it's something we should have taken away by now, is the fact that we cannot trust anything we are being told.
By NASA or
by anywhere. Anybody. Your government, NASA, the scientists, the doctors.
Hey, Unreal, can you trust anything I say?
Oh, no.
Especially not me, right?
No. I actually feel that's something that keeps us on the same wavelength, all fakeologists, is the fact that we are at least aware of the fact that not everything we have been told is true. So we can ask questions and be open about the doubts we have and all those things, because that's why I'm here, is because I have all these doubts. I ask myself questions, and I feel that many of the answers I found on app sites too, especially the psychological operation part of the game.
Yeah, but what is it that would bring me and you together? So the thing that takes us apart is the
accent.
Is the doubt, right? Okay.
Why do you think that takes us apart?
If we ever met in a beautiful, lovely cafe in France, right, and we just sat down together, would it be the freakiest thing that had ever happened? or what? Your opinion?
I think we would quite soon find out that we had a lot of things we had in common, and we could probably have a good laugh of what's happening around.
Where would you take me? Where would you take
That'd
me?
Be a place? Good. It'd be a good moment for me.
Where would you take me? Where? What would you?
Are you there?
As a host, what would you do for me?
Are you there, Rollo?
Yeah. What would you do for me as a host? Hello?
I can't hear myself, so.
All right. Here we go. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
Yeah, now I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, my computer went to sleep.
You took my hand and said, let me show you around France. What would you do? Where would you take me?
Well, I would take you to the closest winery.
Yeah.
And, okay. No, I would take you to a typical French cafe, and if it's nice weather, we would sit out, and I'd probably blow out a cigarette because I'm fond of smoking, and you probably have a nice glass of wine or something stronger. They have some strong alcohols here that are kind of like a pear alcohol and Mirabelle, you know? Kind of a plum, a small plum. It's quite good.
And while we're partaking of that, would I talk about 9/11 or not?
Oh, I think you would talk about whatever would be happening around us. Because we both know
beautiful
so much
French.
About 9/11, so we probably would be more fond of taking the present moment and just chatting away of how your trip was. It's a long way from Australia, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mess it up with because of the beautiful French waitresses with the beautiful the stuff they wear.
In their hair or
yeah, what's that called?
It's mostly in France that they usually have the traditional cafes that actually have only men's servants, and they have like a black outfit with a white shirt and a white towel on their arm. Like yeah. They're always like clean
yeah.
And silver trays that they will bring you a nice glass of whatever your preference of a beverage is. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite is a 1945 Rothschild.
What? Rothschild?
It's awful. No. Sorry. Can I take that? Take two? All right.
Ab will probably cut that part out
is
anyhow.
A 1969 claret. It's a lovely claret that I had, but I can't remember the actual name of it.
You're quite fond of wine.
Yes. I've done vats of it.
Yeah, I heard down. That. You probably tested this, but normally you can take any wine and you throw it in the mixer to have a lot of oxygen into the wine, and the wine gets
yes.
much better.
Well, I'm very close to people who know how to make wine, and I get the good wine, the best wine that we get here. Yeah, it's my favorite what's it called? The one with the red skin goes with the white. Oh, I've forgotten. I'm a bit drunk because I've had too much. Pinot Noir.
Yep. Great.
Yeah. So yep. I'm sorry. I've had too much of something different tonight. I've been drinking too much vodka.
That's strong.
Yeah. Well, vodka is like almost like petrol.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you understand where I'm going. Well, it sends my mind a little bit. Crazy, but when it comes to drinking, and I don't know how if Ab is ever going to put any of this to air, is it's like, yeah, it is, yeah, different alcohol or different types of alcohol, that means different things. Doesn't mean that you're drunk, does it? Unreal.
Oh, they all have different effects for sure.
Yes, yeah.
Like I really cannot inhale any like marijuana or hashish. It's like it makes me completely sick. Whereas they promote that in all the films. Whereas the different alcohols, I'm most fond of whiskey myself. So.
Yeah, a single blend whiskey or multiple.
I actually like it double matured, which is when they have it mature in two different barrels. You know, one barrel with sherry and one barrel just with whiskey. So it's like it gets a double taste. Yeah. And like I like the wooden taste to it too. So I guess. I come from the Norwegian awesome. Part.
my favorite, honestly, is Glenfiddich.
Yeah.
Glenfiddich single malt. Oh.
Yeah, I like Oban like, double matured.
It's like honey. It goes down like honey.
Quite nice.
Oh, too nice. I don't know if we should be talking about this on a Fakeologist subject. It doesn't on a Fakeologist channel, but he can delete it if it doesn't make the grade. Unreal?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, so you would probably then be drinking an Irish whiskey. I would be drinking a Scottish one then.
The only whiskey that I don't like, and forgive me, Americans, for saying this, is, I don't like bourbon.
J&B bourbon?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You know, it's for Jackin and Boaz, right? Like J&B, right. You know, the two towers.
Well, yeah.
So even alcohol brings us closer to New York, huh?
Well, let me tell you, my brother and my mother and my father have both all been to New York, not me. And they said that the two towers were there when they were there. And people that are saying that they're not there, they were never there. They were always sort of, what do you call it? Here we go. We've got another. And anyway, Errol, all I was unreal. I was just saying, it's just they are there. They were there.
Oh yeah, I don't doubt that actually.
Errol C.
Hello.
Hello, Errol.
Hello, Unreal. Hello, Rollo.
Hello, Errol C. It's nice to see you.
Can you hear me?
I'm perfectly clear.
That is good.
I hear some echo.
Just continue.
But is echo, from your loudspeakers, Rollo, you think?
No, it can't be.
It's from my... I haven't put my headphones on yet. Let me put them on. Hold on. Echo.
You're right. Echo. That was fun the other night. You guys were doing Pink Floyd perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, we had
Was it you or Tom Dalbert going wah 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 wah?
Oh, that was Tom.
What was that? Was that piece of music was like picks several furry creatures in?
Oh yeah,
in a cave. Amagama. What a great album that was.
Yeah. I didn't like that myself. Yeah. It was a bit weird, I thought, in the style of Pink Floyd.
It's very weird.
Kind of stood out.
Oh, yeah. That's like the Pink Floyd on drugs.
That's a Yoko Ono, John.
Yeah, apparently Roger Waters said that they'd never played Stone because they couldn't have played their music. It was too complicated.
Well, it's one of those things. He listens back to it when he's sober or stoned. It's awesome both ways.
Yeah, Pink Floyd is an inspirational group.
Oh, yeah. I got tickets to see David Gilmour next March.
Right. Yeah. These guys are getting quite
Dave
old.
Dave took over from the fellow
Roger
who...
Waters.
The other fellow who... that Tom Dalper looked after. Do you remember that guy? Yeah, Sid Barrett. Yeah, Dave Gilmour took over from him. Yeah, that was kind of.
Yeah, that was. There was one point.
Sad. And people used to knock on Sid's door, and he just. It's an interesting thing that why he if he blitzed his brain on the LSD or whatever it is, and just stayed at home.
I don't know. It's a confusing story. I mean, Yeah, they say he had schizophrenia. Some people say he did too much LSD. Some people say it's a combination of both because you see an interview with him. There's a rare interview with him and Roger Waters, and he sounds perfectly fine. And then according to this narrative, a few months later, he became you could look in his eyes and he's like, it wasn't there.
This is Roger Waters you're talking about?
Sid Barrett.
Sid Barrett.
Wasn't there a story about Roger Waters, too, when he withdrew, kind of?
I'm not sure if there's any controversy about Waters, except for his disputes with David Gilmour after The Wall, because they were saying that he was controlling the group too much with all his concepts, starting with Dark Side of the Moon, and then Wish You Were Here, and Animals, and The Wall, and the final cut. It was all Roger Waters' concepts.
But he was arguing that...
They are great albums, and he was arguing that, well, if you guys got a better idea, give it to me. And he said David was too passive and would just go along with the ride, but eventually he got fed up after The Wall because it was too much Roger and not enough of the other Pink Floyd members. But they are amazing unreal. Albums.
They're not all great albums. The final cut, I listened to it. There's nothing much on that. The final cut, 1982, is not the greatest album. The Wall was their crescendo, I think.
It was Animals, so more or less, than the Diamonds.
Go again?
Animals was a really great album, I think.
Yeah, but Sheep was
Animals.
Their song on it, wasn't it? The crescendo of that one. I don't know if Animals was... That was a sort of a piss take on, George Orwell's Animal Farm or whatever it was.
Some of the cuts were leftovers from Wish You Were Here.
Were they?
Dogs and, well, there's only a couple of songs on there, but at least half that album was rejects from Wish You Were Here.
Will you sing Wish You Were Here with me, Errol?
Sure.
Go on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. So you thinking?
Okay.
Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So you think you can tell?
Heaven from hell.
Heaven from hell. Blue skies from pain.
Rain.
Can you tell a green hill from a cold steel rail? A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell? I think the lag is like,
fail.
Is like there's lag all over the place there. We can't do that.
It's a great reminder of how good that music really is.
Fantastic. Yeah. If they get you to trade your heroes for ghosts, hot ashes for trees.
I remember you did that with Delcroix.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's about it. Long time ago.
Oh, he's such a sweetheart. I really need him to reproduce K-Ham's stuff because he's been buzzing the last couple of times I spoke to him. She goes, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you're the main star, right? You need a producer, right? Well, sweetie. He's lovely.
So He doesn't produce her show anymore, right?
No, he doesn't. She's producing it on her own.
Because she did okay on the... I listened to the one... I listened to the one you did with her last week. It was pretty good. It sounded fine.
I was still buzzing, but there you go. You heard everything I said?
I heard everything I said.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, everything. You left early, too.
Yeah, I was
Ab came on, and then you left...
Yeah, he went and spoke about, what's it called, Target and all those, which is very funny because that's the exact same conversation that Marcus Allen had with him when I came in. It was a brilliant thing.
Synchronicity?
Oh, synchronicity. You got it in one. Yeah. Look, I didn't leave because I was scared. I left because I had to go. I had to, there was something I had to do.
Right.
And, but we'd already done an hour. And then I had to do it again. Do you know how fucking hard that is to do?
Why'd you have to do it again?
Because, like, the first hour was, like, wasn't recorded. Like, it was only Hayes recorded. So she's got a whole recorded of her, what she said. But none of my responses got recorded. You understand?
Oh, so there's an unreleased hour that she has in her archive?
Well, she has an unreleased hour of me and her talking, but only her is being recorded.
Oh, so your microphone wasn't really being activated or
wasn't
something.
Taken,
so it's just her talking to nothing.
Yes, to
so
nothing.
So what you have
yes.
to do, you have to take her recording and play it and respond to her questions from memory.
Yes. Yeah.
So you have to dub in all your responses again. But you have to put a disclaimer
much,
saying that this is a recreation.
I pretty much did it I don't do it word for word, but pretty much went, yeah, I could do it. I could do it. I could smack in exactly what I said. I reckon I could. That's pretty cool.
So what were you guys talking about before I came on board?
Yeah, go. You guys talk.
A little bit about our preferences to different beverages.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And also what would happen if some of us fecologists sat down in a cafe. How would things be?
Yeah, I'm keen for that. I'm keen for that.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's a great idea.
Errol, I was just replaying a recording I did with a guy called O'Halloran. Lovely guy. I got chatting to, and Ab said, will you replay it? And I said, yeah, all right. I recorded it, like you're recording now. Exactly the same. I just
yes.
said I'd record. I just played it on the live stream. That's what I was doing. And then, of course, you two bastards come in and start, you know, annoying me.
Oh, so you're supposed to play it on the live stream.
Yes. I'm joking.
Okay.
No, yeah, okay. Yeah. I was playing a pre-record in the live stream. But you two here are here now, so let's let's talk about 9/11,
because I saw,
right?
Let's talk about 9/11, yeah. Because I saw Unreal had a schedule on the new scheduling system for fakeologists, and I thought maybe
yes.
it's actually real. Because I don't know which schedule to follow. There's a need
yeah.
to meet, and there's a... It's kind of confusing.
It's confusing right now.
Here we go. Guys, listen to me right now. Okay, so in here at Australia now, it is 7:30 in the a.m. on Thursday morning. Let's schedule, if you want to, I'll think of something interesting to talk about, or I'll produce a piece of music that you might like at a certain time. When's is this a good time for you guys?
For me, every day is unpredictable, but during the late afternoon or early
yeah.
afternoons are okay for a while, but I have
right.
to think about it first before I can set a commitment to a time, but set one, I could see if I could join that one. That's what the whole thing is.
But,
somebody who knows for
exactly.
sure they can be there. And the other people will say, okay, I can come then too.
We'll be there.
So if not, but this
it's
is
good idea,
the
isn't
time
it?
I could
who
talk
came up
with Unreal
the
or whoever
I
showed up.
It was Forest Value.
Was it? Was it
yes.
Forest Value that came
I
up
just,
with the schedule
well,
idea?
I think so, because I saw he proposed this in the Chatango chat, and then Ab came up with some alternatives and Forest
yeah.
Value too. And that's why we have a couple of different schedules lying around. But I just guess that we have to try for a period of time, and then maybe decide on one of the ones we should most use. I feel like the alternative that Ab put up is quite intuitive. That's called needtomeet.com. That's where probably you, Arrow, you saw several people had booked for tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's got a very simple table. It's not like every single day, but well, actually, it is Tuesday to Friday right now, and you're scheduled for 5 p.m. and Bob is scheduled as well, and Farce Valley was scheduled yesterday. So I don't know if they had one yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We did talk yesterday. I talked to Forest Value yesterday night, and Ab was came by.
Right. So it's working then.
Yeah,
because I looked at it and I saw that it's 5 p.m. and I saw it was 5:15, so I thought I'd check it out. And you guys are sitting there talking.
Yeah, I don't know how much Rollo. Did you look at the schedule, or have you not looked at the schedules yet?
I'm the bull in the china shop. You know what? You guys are in the schedule. I'm the bull in the china shop. I was just bulling in the china shop, if you understand that metaphor.
Yeah.
I think it means that you
That's
were
fine.
Not in the schedule.
I didn't look at the schedule. I was just being an asshole and just uploading a thing I did. Again, I'll only say it again. I had two bottles of vodka and I spoke to O'Halloran. And Ab is one of these creatures where he grabs me and goes, whatever audio you've got, let me make sure I get it. I go, are you kidding? Like, it mightn't be, what do you call it, fakeologist related. It just turns out that, yeah, a little bit is, a little bit isn't. Like, this is like, this whole conversation we're having now, it sounds like a wonderful meet-up where you just meet up in a lovely French cafe where we'd all go. And we talk about, like, conspiratorially, about some great new way we're going to move music along in a different way, because music is, like, stuck in a rut. Have you ever, heard,
yeah,
like these concertos, these, you go, oh, my God. I've heard that. If I hear that one more time, I'll go nuts.
I think it's very interesting to listen to some of the interviews that Jan Urban has made lately with Dr. Utter, where they actually pinpoint the fact that music is quite related to a lot of ways they can influence people, and it has been studied and actually set into the works with popular music and the culture that has been created since the 60s.
Certainly a weaponized it's weaponized, that's for sure.
Well, I don't like to think that it's weaponized. I always like to think that it was like a beautiful symphony has been done to I'd hate to think of it weaponized.
That's the problem. It's like we all are so emotionally tied into music that we actually relate to in our lives, that it's very hard to hear that much of that music was quite contrived and actually targeted for us for creating certain states of mind and certain states that we could be influenced in. But when you stop believing and just starting to get through the facts, quite clear that music is not something that has been done independently from every little musicians all over the world, and it has been controlled, and they have a science behind what they are doing with the tonalities and the rhythms and everything. So the rock genre was created to go along with the sexual liberation. If you just take the name, you know, rock and roll, it means to mingle with someone, and that's what they needed.
Yeah, I agree. You can enjoy music, and I enjoy lots of music, but again, if you dig deeper into the creation of certain pieces, there's usually, well, it's obviously a sponsor, like the old classical music had a lot of religious messages. Or New Age messages. I was listening to some Wagner a while ago.
And, are you
a real nationalistic tone to it?
Are you able to play any Wagner as we speak?
All not right now, unless I... No, I can't right now. It's not hooked up properly.
Well, what's your favorite Wagner piece?
Let's see. I got this LP here. Hold on. I just fixed my turntable last week.
The Lark
Ascending. I've got...
remember the Lark
Best
Ascending?
Best of Wagner. Which one?
The Lark Ascending.
Well, I don't know that one. I've got this one called The Sound of Wagner.
Is that Wagner? Maybe I'm wrong.
Lohengrin, Tannhauser, Götterdämmerung, Die Meistersinger, and Die Walküre. The Best of Wagner. It's really good. Ride of the Valkyries. Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun. Yeah, yeah.
Like that is powerful stuff.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But the Lark, is that not Wagner? The Lark Ascending.
It could be. I don't know. I'm not big on. I only know the Best of Wagner, just the highlights. But I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that you're telling me is probably there that I'd never heard of before.
And look, I like German stuff too.
Yeah, and there's the different eras of music. Let's go back to the chanting, the ancient chants of the monks, and then you had the Baroque period, like Bach, and you had the Romantic period of the 1800s, and that's when we had all these changes in the introduction.
I don't remember that.
Well, I wasn't there.
I'm gonna go. I'll be back in a sec.
Okay. The Romantic period, and Beethoven and Tchaikovsky, and then you've got the early 20th century composers, and then you've got the jazz and the swing era, and then the early rock and roll era, and then up until now.
Yeah, I think they are always needed music to go with their agendas somehow. So as you say... the classical music making people move towards the spiritual and religious sounds right to me also.
And then, and also the myths, promoting myths, right? Like and operas, you know, and like I've got another one here, Romeo and Juliet. They took Shakespearean stories and took them to music. I think Tchaikovsky did Romeo and Juliet. And made them a ballet.
This is maybe the beginning of the new way of mating that they have put in place. Because before, you see, people didn't really choose their spouse by love, which is a new concept that has come with our modernity.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody has their favorite song. Every couple has that romantic song they like nowadays. But back, yeah, you're right. Arranged marriages were like, that was the way to go.
But it's just as easy as, it's just as easy as when you don't have that option, you don't think about it. But they needed to have people think about it first to make it happen later.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. It's... I mean, as going back to arranged marriages, it still happens today in a lot of cultures around the world. It's just in Western culture, it's become frowned upon because we want our freedom, right? We want the freedom to choose.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Do you think we are more free with our system than...
Well, sometimes too many choices is a burden, and sometimes you almost like... let's say you go into a grocery store and you see, 10 different kinds of orange juice, and you just can't decide. So you say to your companion, you choose. Whichever one, just give me one. You know, I just need orange juice, but I don't care which kind. Just give me one. Yeah.
Very good image. I think it's like you say. I think it is also a burden, a big burden.
Because think of... how many people out there are looking for somebody and they have to go through all this personal anguish to find the right person and go on these. Now the internet has all these sites for meeting people. And I just met a guy. Well, I know somebody who met their girlfriend through the internet, and I know people that have been married through meeting on the internet. So it's like, it's really, but it's a process, you know, like, whereas before it was the families decided beforehand, yes, they will be married 20 years from now or whatever. Like, it was done, a done deal. Now, of course, you could be stuck in something you don't like,
Don't you think that, like, the people around the young people that they were matching, don't you think they really cared about their own and that they really tried to find the best match?
I would think so. It's kind of like being a farmer, so almost. You know, you have your cattle and you say, okay, I want this one to be with this one, this cow with this cow, and they will produce such and such healthy offspring. We could look at it that way, too.
We have that in Australia. Do I drink Coke or do I drink Pepsi? Okay, Coke or Pepsi? Which one do I drink?
I prefer Pepsi.
RC. How
about
I prefer
not to
water.
Have any sugar at all.
Drink water. That doesn't,
I'm
that
what kind
doesn't
of water?
Work in the what do you call it? In the corporate model.
What kind of water?
Evian. You know, naive backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perrier.
Yeah, but Evian is, isn't that funny? Naive.
It is really funny.
Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Especially after eating a plastic bottle that makes your life miserable. Use them too much.
But
I only
like
drink plastic water when I have no choice.
But when it came to choosing my wife, I chose. There were 1,000 women I slept with. Then I finally found my wife.
Yeah, the thing that with Errol we talked about is the fact that we might not be happier by sleeping with so many people before finding the right one than we would have been if somebody that loved us took care of finding somebody that we would be well matched with, that they could actually judge with their greater experience of life than young people would have. And often we are very badly advised by our own emotions. And when it comes to love, it's like you have so much emotions that it seems nearly impossible for somebody to make a wise choice when it comes to love.
Yeah, because you're not, a young age, late teens, early 20s, you may not have the maturity to pick the person that's good for you or the best for you. Don't you think you changed your opinions when you were, let's say, between 18 to 28, 29? I think you must have had a radical shift in what you were looking for as far as a companion. Don't you think?
That's completely true for me, at least. I don't know about you, Rollo, but...
For me, it was. At
this age, thank you for allowing me into the conversation. Dunrail was just going to trample all over top of me there. I remember back in that age, women, I was a sauce bottle. I was very, very hot. And I had to beat them off with a stick. They wanted so much to do with me. There was no love to do with it. But when you got talking to a woman in your 20s, what do you really know? Unreal, I'll throw it back to you. What do you really know when you're in your 20s?
I think, as Errol said, we don't know what we will know a bit later, and we'll make decisions on a poor basis. Unfortunately, we are left only with that option today. It means like we don't really ask for advice, and we are not supposed to take advice when it comes to matters of the heart.
Yeah. All right, I agree with
Errol. Yeah, it's like they are, like the general message nowadays is it's your choice. I can't interfere. You know, once you reach that certain point, let's say age of majority, okay. Even I've heard parents say, "Well, it's their choice." They, you know, and it's almost like, "Are you sure?" Because maybe you can see something, and that's really a red flag that they don't see, and it might save them a lot of heartache.
Of course, but we are conditioned not to take that advice now, and it's actually, I think the American model is like the extreme example of that, where you have what they have called the nuclear family, where children, they are separating from their parents once they are have reached 18 or something.
Can I just butt in, Unreal?
We yep. have the nuclear bomb, so does that mean we have the nuclear family? Maybe we have 9/11 now. Do we have the 9/11 family? Because I don't know if a nuclear family is it the same as a nuclear bomb.
I think so. I think they are both made up by people that's a bit more vicious than we think.
Okay. Errol.
We don't have the atomic family. The atomic family.
We don't have the atomic family.
At least the expression in Europe is the nuclear family. That's like the modern family where the family ties are much looser than before.
Is that a post-World War II family?
Yeah, I think so.
I was telling somebody recently that at least here in southern Ontario and probably most of North America, when they build new houses, they're basically the standard is three-bedroom house, one for the parents and one for each child. So they're basically saying just have two or three kids, no more.
No bomb shelters? No bomb shelters?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
Switzerland, every house but, has a refuge.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But it's like they're saying, building all the houses, hey, guess what? You're just going to have one or two kids because that's what we're building.
I think that's interesting because there are so much social housing around and they all have these typologies that's supposing smaller families.
Because the older houses, the century houses in our region, there's these really old farmhouses and they have like five or six or eight bedrooms.
Wow.
And it's because they were having so many kids 100 years ago.
Because they needed the kids to work the farm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now it's like one or two bedrooms. That's it. Two or three max.
Well, yeah, big living rooms and small.
I don't have any that I know of. Unreal, do you have it? Children?
Yeah, I have children.
How many?
One.
One,
say.
Yeah, and you
and
are...
I raised another one too. But I met the.
I have one.
Okay, so you got one each. Well, there you go. I mean, that replaces yourself. Don't have any more, otherwise, it's what do you call it? It's called.
But if if you don't have two, you're not replacing both parents.
You
have to have at least three to bring population up.
Why are we just at least three children? The population. It's like a cancer. Two's enough. Just replace yourself.
Well, that's another conspiracy that the world is overpopulated.
Yeah, I really think so. I'm not really trusting the numbers they come up with either.
Yeah, it's like they say we have 6 or 7 billion on the planet. How do they know that? Well the census,
this will interest Ab. So maybe he will post this. Whether they overpopulated, I think this planet would cope with how many billion? We got 6 billion? Like, it's nothing.
And we don't, big is the Earth, really? How big did it back to the
It's a question of how many humans do we want and how many animals, beautiful animals like giraffes and tigers and lions and things like that. We kind of want those things as well, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Sharks in the ocean. I know it's scary to go and swim in the ocean, but there are sharks out there. Most of them are Steven Spielbergs and those types. I would call him a shark. Do you remember Steven Spielberg?
Yeah,
he was at the Boston bombing.
It could have been. Why not?
That's what they
he
say.
Also
look just
promoted
like him.
The alien agenda.
Close
encounters.
E.T.
Yes, the extraterrestrial.
And I used to be interested in the UFO question, so I know that he was known in the UFO circuit to collect items from that field research kind of.
Yeah. Hey, and don't forget the little girl in the red dress and when they were gassing them all in what was that one, that film where George Costanza was eating popcorn. What was the name of that film where they were gassing all the? I forgot.
Schindler's List.
The Swindlers. The Swindlers List. Yeah. Swindlers List. Schindler's List, it's called. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's always been involved in agendas, right? So as you said, Earl, or you wrote.
And Kubrick.
Yeah, he did take over the AI film from Kubrick.
Let's just think about it.
He was the one who signed the film, and that was the film that Kubrick was supposed to do, I think, after he made Eyes Wide Shut.
That's right. And he was taken out a little bit early. But I think we should look at The Shining. If you really want to understand Kubrick, and as clever he was, watch The Shining, and look, and read. Have you guys read the book, The Shining? By Stephen King?
Red Rum.
Murder.
But I didn't understand it until the end.
Yeah. Well,
I haven't even seen the movie yet.
Oh, you should see the movie, RLC.
Here we go.
I have it on my hard drive.
Okay. To understand The Shining, you've got to have certainly read Stephen King's novel, The Shining, which is about an alcoholic, a drunk. Something I know all too well, right? And it's just a brilliant novel. And then you watch the movie, and it is completely the best way to describe it is if you watch The Shining, when you see the V-dub that is crushed in the movie, you know, it is a red V-dub. It was a yellow V-dub in the, or is a yellow V-dub going up? And it's a red V-dub. Anyway,
it was a yellow in the book, and that's the
movie was awesome.
Wiedner's theory that he forward. And I think he has a very good documentary on the Shining film. Jay Wiedner, very good documentary.
I've seen that. I'm just saying for my own. I'm using Jay Wiedner's film for inspiration, but I've read and seen both, and I agree with Jay. The trouble with Jay Wiedner, he went off to this Archon shit, and if you sort of quote him, you end up looking like a fucktard.
I'm going to have some dinner, so I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, bon appétit.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
Yeah, that documentary from Jay Wiedner was really good on The Shining.
Like I said, Unreal. It was just where he went with it afterwards. He went into archons and
nothing
some
that
sort of crazy
not
stuff.
In his analysis of that film. I think he talked more about his implications with NASA and the fact that the little boy has a Apollo 11 sweater on, that he raises up like a rocket, that the room they use is not the same from the book, but the room where you have the same number of miles it is to the moon on the door, and the twins.
Unreal. Calm down. I'm with you all the way there. Okay, let me just try and explain simply. After Jay Wiedner spoke to that guy up there at Red Ice Radio.
Henrik Palmgren.
You know him. Okay. And he did the thing about Shining, which I totally agree with. Then he went and did this other things about Archons, like these space aliens that I don't even know anything about. Have you ever heard of them?
I heard of them, and I actually seriously looked into it for a time. But
right.
Jay Wiedner is the same as many other researchers. It's like they come up with some interesting stuff, and then they bicker off towards religion or aliens or something weird. And you are right. Wiedner obviously takes this too far into the alien agenda and the real and the archons and all these things.
That's all I was trying to say. That's the only point. Apart from that, me and you can talk about talk about The Shining and The Shining as a metaphor or allegory to the moon landing being fake. Of course. It's all there. It's just laid out.
But what I think we might question is the fact, was Kubrick this victim that everybody is speaking about, the guy that had to hide his messages inside the film and all that stuff? Wasn't he more like part of the establishment? That's the opinion I have now. It's like he wasn't an outsider on the inside, I think. I think he was in that position because he wanted to be there too.
Well, again, he had access to like the back screen technology, all the best stuff.
And why would you give that to an outsider that only seeks to leave behind secret messages?
Again, I think that's where Kubrick comes in and just when he says, "Well, it looked like a beautiful woman," you know, and then he starts kissing her, and then she turns into this like grotesque body.
That's scary.
Yeah, because that's I think that's where Widener was probably quite on the money there.
But Widener,
I don't know. Do you think?
Widener tried to put that as a meaning for how Kubrick thought he was into something that was seducing and nice, and then saw it turn out to be very ugly what he was actually
That's
doing.
It. That's
but
it.
I'm not sure if we should put Kubrick in a special place and make him be like kind of this victim for the elites that only did their bidding. I mean, probably did more for the moon landing by putting out his film 2001, The Odyssey of Space, so that we could have the foregone impression of how it would look like to step on the moon. If they hadn't made all those films, we wouldn't have believed the films that he produced when they did it for the moon landings. So I think he was much more into what was going to happen than what Widener puts it out to be.
Yeah, well, unreal. I mean, have you ever been in a position where you go, this is the thing I'm going to do, and you do it, and then like 2 years later you suddenly realize, I don't want to be here, or like say I'm in a relationship or something, I don't want to be here, but it's all been recorded. I don't know how exactly Kubrick got the, what was his initial, what got him in there? I don't know, but it must have been something fantastic.
You know, Freemason is a bricklayer, right? So Kubrick, it means like he's a Freemason. So it's like made up name.
Yeah, yeah. All right, okay. So you're saying that he it wasn't by accident, and
I don't feel it was, and I don't feel it is an accident that he's being exposed by this guy that later goes off into space with space aliens and reels from the Nazi Empire.
Right. Okay. So here we go. Let's just so we're clear, just so we're quite clear, Stanley Kubrick did the moon landing hoax and did all that phony footage, which we know is ridiculous, along with the 2001 Space Odyssey. And then when he did The Shining in 1980, that was also part of the hoax to expose. Okay, is that what you're saying?
I have a point. Maybe it could be that he was having second thoughts, or he had some bad experience in that period. But I do not think he was an unknowing victim going into the whole production of the space adventure that was probably created a long time ago, and he was probably into the know very early on. So it could also be some personal disputes between those people in the know, more than the fact that they had such a big feeling for the public, because obviously Kubrick did not have that big respect of the huge masses of people, in the sense that he willingly took the role to miseducate us through his work.
Right. Okay. Just from a fakeologist angle, and so, and then in 1999, when he was doing Eyes Wide Shut, and he was pre-producing what was that one with Haley Joel, where they were there was one where a movie where they were half, he'd already half directed, that Spielberg took over.
Yeah, AI. Artificial AI. Intelligence.
That's the one. Yeah, AI. Yeah. Okay. So again, so he just died by natural causes, and Spielberg took over AI, right?
It's hard to know, but as you can understand from the way it looks like one big time filmmaker stepped in for another one, and the first one was Kubrick, and he was a big time filmmaker that did many propaganda pieces for the establishment, and then another one came in and took over. So is it foul play, or is it just more of the same?
Okay, I will tell you my honest opinion now after what we've just said. Do you want to hear it?
Oh yes.
Okay. Let's just go back to 1975. Let's go back to Jaws. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, it's some. I remember his first film that was named Trailer too. That was pretty scary too. When you had this guy that was followed by this trailer driver.
What's scarier?
I hope it wasn't Ab.
What is scarier than a shark in the water? Than a shark that's above water? Do you know?
Yeah, you're right. The scary part is the part you don't know. You don't know. it's the iceberg.
That's it. You know it. I'm being a little bit anti-Semitic here, but the guy's a Jew, right? These bloody Jews. They're in there causing all the bloody trouble with all the money. You know what do you call them? What are they called? Money changers in the temple or whatever it is. And yeah, this scumbag is like, and he's gone and come and done E.T. And then the worst thing he ever did was Schindler's List. List. He's the scummiest of scumbags.
Yep. I think that... cost so much to make a movie that it's pretty naive to believe that they would let anybody that's not into the game really do them. Because let's be honest, the teams are so big that you don't even need to be that talented to make a great movie. It depends on the quality of the people on the team, not only one person. So that's the same as saying that the president is deciding everything in the United States. That's just not true.
I think he's a dirtbag of the highest order, Spielberg. Does that mean I'm an anti-Semite, though, because I don't like him?
But, you know, Jews are not Semites by definition, so it's like hard to be, you could be anti-Jewish, I would guess. But the fact is that it's clear that they have a prominent role in what's been played out. That's out in the open. But who is really pulling the strings, and that's hard to say. They might be non-Jewish as well as they could be Jewish too, but a lot of Jewish people are in the top positions and probably then are very well into what is being played out here.
Yeah, like, again, it's like, it's difficult for me because I'm not part of a team, but it does seem like they're trying to say the Jews are part of a team. So, like, those who are not a Jew, they're goyim. Have you heard that?
Oh yeah,
yeah. That we're goyim.
Yeah, but you see the people that are Jewish that we speak of now, that's on the top of the film studios, on top of the media. I don't think they really care about the average Jew either. No?
Yeah.
So for them, the average Jew would just be as goyim as we are, you know.
All right. So the Zionists are the bad guys, right?
I don't even know if they're all Zionists or not.
yeah.
I think it's hard to believe anything that we are told on those people. What we can say, though, is like the more we investigate, the more clear it is that there is a lot of power into banking and into the production of entertainment. And that is actually those places where I would guess that they are putting the most of their attention to be able to rule the world in a sense that we are being ruled today.
Yeah, well, Unreal, I get suckered into that argument all the time. But the biggest ritual I know as a Australian, and maybe you might have remember it, it's called 9/11. That ritual, biggest ritual, yeah, was bringing down those two towers on 9/11.
Yeah, but Rollo,
it affected the world as I know it.
Yes, that is our milestone for our generation, and they have some milestones for previous generations too. It's like they had the Holocaust, they had the moon landing. You know, they always put some milestones in that shapes our minds, you know. So, yeah, you're right. 9/11 was the milestone of our age up till now. But I'm sure they're going to find something new to come up with for the next generation that has not had the shock that our generation has had with the 9/11.
You reckon it'll be something like up there with 9/11? Massive like that?
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
What, an alien invasion or something, or what?
I don't even think that is the most scary, you know. I think they will like the Holocaust, it's human suffering. And I think that 9/11, in some way, too, is played out on human suffering. So I don't think it's going to be in the action of what's going to happen. I think it's going to be in the way it's carried out. So what was horrible with 9/11... even though people speak little of it, was all the people that was jumping down and into the ground and were burnt alive in the towers, you see, and we saw it live on TV. So even though people don't think of that consciously when they think about 9/11, that is actually the imagination that we on those events and the horror that we felt. And in that way, it's
perfectly.
So it's, if they're going to come up with a new event, it's probably going to be on the on the amount of human suffering. I don't know if you saw the film with that alpine climber that like sawed off his arm to get into safety.
So these are the kind of events. 127 hours or something.
Yeah, and I don't believe it for one second. I think it's just made up to create another horrific story, just like you had the people from the plane crash in the Andes in the 1970s that ate each other, you know.
Yeah.
So they come up with these horrible stories.
But Unreal, again, I guess the older we get, I don't take a lot for real unless I see it. Unless I see it, I just go, oh yeah. Someone says something happened on TV. I go, oh yeah. I don't like. It's just I don't believe it anymore.
Yeah, and the thing that we probably need to be aware of too is the fact that one part of us is the conscious mind that we use mostly. The unconscious is always with us too, and I think that what these psychological operations are doing is like they are skillfully manipulating the unconscious part of us to have us go into different states of emotions and different states of anxiety. And just as most researchers of 9/11 are probably not aware of the fact that it actually like the horror of the deaths of the people in the towers that actually made us so alert of what was happening that day. The people that put this into action, they knew what they were doing, and they knew they needed these kind of horror stories to trigger what happened. Just like in the Boston bombings, they needed people with a sawn off legs.
Well, here's my question, Unreal. Why didn't they get to you? You know that Boston's fake, right? You know 9/11 is fake. Why
but I didn't
did
when
you
they happened.
Escape? Why did you escape this, bombing of our minds to make us all afraid? Why are you not afraid?
Well, I thought about that myself, and I think In my case, it might be the fact that I am in a creative field, so it's like I push my brain to try to think outside the boxes. So that might have helped me. And when I look at some other researchers too, they often have some artistic mind to them. But I think it's probably a little bit of luck to not have been crushed too much when we were growing up, maybe by our parents. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So, you're totally free from any psyop they try now. You'll be free from.
Well, at least I must say that the period when I discovered through a fakeologist the no plane reality and the fact that the towers were empty, it really changed the way I thought about events in general, actually.
Yeah.
So, but for you, Rollo, like, how did you think you? How come is it that you are not into the mainstream version of the events? How come you got out of the propaganda?
It's a tricky one, but I'll tell you this. My brother, my mother, and my father, I've got pictures of them there in New York, and there are pictures that they took. Those towers were there, where people are trying to say to me now, they were never there. I'm going, bullshit.
But who's saying that?
If you've spoken to enough people online, as I have, where they go, where I'm just trying to say, look, the towers were brought down. They go, well, the towers weren't there. They're trying to say now that the towers were virtually there or something. I go, are you fucking kidding me? They were there. There's like that new movie where these guys, how many people died making those towers? I don't know. A lot. They were made in the 70s and 60s, 66 to 75.
Something like that. I think they laid the groundstone something like beginning of the
70s. 66 to 75. And like the amount of poor people they pushed out of Lower Manhattan to do that, it was like Rockefellers. Those scumbags are all over that. Like a fly on shit. You know that those scumbags are in there. These huge towers, to make them though, what did they have to do? They had to, the Port Authority had to sink, because the Hudson's right there, had to sink, like, the actual, I don't even think we could we do it again? Like, well, they did, didn't they? There's a new tower, right, that replaced the last two, right?
Of course we can do it again. I mean, it's not an undoable feat to make that kind of building, but, as you said, I kind of don't agree with those people that say that they did everything for it not to be any deaths by this event. I don't think it was that was a question that was really that crucial. I think that this event had created many deaths indirectly, at least, and probably directly too, with the actions of war that has ensued. So, I don't think it has something
so
to do with men's lives.
And when the towers came down, you actually think there were people in the towers when the towers came down? You think
no,
that?
I don't think so. But I do think that it was a decision made from the point of view of the efficiency of the whole event, and as you know, the most efficient way to be able to manage everything that would happen that day would be to have it pre-recorded and just have it play out on TV. Has more to do with the efficiency than it has to do with the respect of men's lives or the fear to put anybody in harm's way.
No, I mean, unreal. I mean, I've always had the highest respect for you, and that is exactly the way I would say that it has to be done now. And I'm only parroting you know, Simon Shack said, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? You've got to lock off Lower Manhattan, you know, pump up some smoke or whatever it is, and then just bring those things down and then play some Judy Wood crazy energy weapon explosions on television, which is what we got.
Yeah.
Simple. And we all fell for it. I did.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if anybody has done some research on how many people actually are aware of what did go on that day. But I think that 99% still believe that there were planes entering those towers.
Yeah, that's the ridiculous thing. That means that means the 1% of us, that think no planes hit buildings, which is unfortunately because like Simon Shack's first video does actually kind of show a missile kind of plane turning into a missile. There you go. It's like Simon changed his mind. He said it.
Yeah, but I think we cannot expect that everybody should be pitch perfect when it comes to announcing a theory. So the fact that Simon Shack corrected his videos and his analysis is just good, I think. And I don't think that we should believe that we have the answers already lined up for what's happening. I think we must be prepared to be surprised.
I'm with you, brother.
So what year was it that you came into...
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio. 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 You're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
Station identification.
Errol's coming back. Hey, Errol.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, we
just had my dinner.
What you missed is that me and Unreal, we were just chatting to the point where, were we, Errol? Unreal?
9/11.
9/11, but specifically, though.
The fact that most people, even today, cannot even consider the events of that day happening without a plane.
Yeah, there we go. So we were just, without planes happening. So RLC, your thoughts on that?
What we would like to ask you then was how many percent of people do you think can envision 9/11 without planes? We think it's very... very, very few people that are able to even entertain that thought.
Well, there's three of us here.
Oh, yeah. Because of the footage that's been shown for 10-plus years and the narrative of all the background story regarding the planes, plus all the controversy about the TSA workers doing the extra security checks in the airports, and plus all these extra stories about planes, like the MH17, all this plane story, it's just reinforcing it constantly.
That's a good point. You would say that for 99% of the people, we would appear crazy to say it was no planes that day.
Yeah. I mean, even Alex Jones is blasting people for saying that.
So that's where it becomes interesting, because that means, like, I think over half of the population thinks that the government was involved in it, but 99% has no clue of what really happened. So doesn't that make them the winners, even though people think they believe in a conspiracy somehow?
Well, the thing is, they create the alternate view for people to fall into, which doesn't really have the correct story. So you think you know the story, but you really don't.
That means that they have made a revolution and they're at the same point. They have made a complete circle to come back to where they were in the beginning, meaning they're completely manipulated.
Yeah. And it's also funny how the controllers, if you call them that, would leave clues. Like, for instance, go to the Flat Earth thing where the United Nations logo doesn't even have Antarctica included in their logo, right? But if you told people that Antarctica doesn't exist, they'd think you're crazy, just like the plane issue.
That's something that I discussed a little bit with Forrest Value yesterday, is the fact that as the establishment is pushing around Earth, a sphere Earth, it probably means it's not so. Just from the get-go, it cannot be exactly like they tell us anyhow. So it could be a pear, but it's not a sphere.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be perfect.
Can I say something, guys? I didn't mean
yes.
to be
yes.
Rubbish. If you're going to talk round, flat Earth, Arrow, and Unreal, did you guys pop off to another room? Because, like, seriously, I don't want to talk about that shit at one. Anything else, I'll talk about anything else. I will not talk round,
that's,
flat
that's
Earth.
That's interesting. Yeah. So tell us what do you think about the theories around the shape
stream.
Of the Earth.
You guys... It's like there's room 9, there's room 11, there's room 33, there's the lobby. You can go and chat that amongst yourselves. I do not want to talk round, flat Earth at all.
Well, let's talk about the planes again.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about the planes.
Sure. I'll tell you one thing. I went through a TSA thing a couple of years ago, and they didn't go as far as the people say they go. But I did have to go to the body scanner.
Did you not TSA? Have to get your balls cupped?
No, they did not go there.
Yeah, don't touch my junk.
And they actually called me an astronaut. They called me astronaut because my backpack was so full of stuff. You know, they didn't even open it.
It was full of good hybrid buds. Man, lift heaven.
All kinds of souvenirs.
Oh my God, the souvenirs. I can just imagine.
But they just put you through the body scanner, you know, and they just give you like a wand, like this wand, this electronic wand.
Did you feel your body warming up or whatever? Is your body warming up? You feel the heat going through you? I never did. Yeah. I drank a whole, when I had sort of a throat condition or something, they got me to drink a whole bunch of this stuff called barium. Have you ever shat out barium? It doesn't go
if
around.
If you are talking about bowl. Chemtrails here, Rollo, we can't have that. I won't discuss it here.
You won't discuss chemtrails?
No. Out of the question.
All right, so I won't discuss, what was it again?
Flat Earth.
Round,
the plane.
Ball
the plane.
Earth versus
bus. The plane. The plane.
The concave.
No. Well, concave. I did not say the concave. But no.
Remember Fantasy Island?
Subject.
Remember Fantasy Island, Rollo?
Go again?
Remember Fantasy Island? And they had the short guy.
Now, what was his name? The guy that he blew his brains out, the young fella.
Herb Villages. And he played Tattoo, but the thing is, he kept saying every episode, the plane.
Yeah. And who played the main guy? We remember him?
The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
Ricardo Montalban.
There we go. Ricardo Montalban. Yes.
What TV series is this?
It was called Fantasy Island.
I didn't see it.
It was a great show.
Based on Jules Verne or something?
The fact he's going the plane from Fantasy Island. So it's a fantasy plane.
But it's basically formula television, like three acts where you know everything's going to happen. Errol, do you remember what's it called? The Incredible Hulk.
The Love Boat?
No, The Incredible Hulk.
It was the same deal
where you had Bill Bixby, you had Lou Ferrigno playing they greened him up. And he had three things, and you knew when his eyes were going to go green and he was going to get angry. And he was basically a good man. The Hulk didn't hurt people that unless you deserved it. You didn't get punched out unless you deserved it.
It's kind of like Godzilla.
Yeah,
I bet so.
Godzilla's this big monster, but he's actually trying to save Tokyo.
Yeah. Yeah. The Incredible Hulk. Unreal, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I've never been so into that fantastical series like Superman and Batman and all
Superman
these.
Superman was awesome. The recent Superman, do you know what happened, Unreal? What they've done is they've made him not care about human beings anymore. The Richard Donowitz, Richard Donner, who did the Superman in 1978, Superman cared about humanity. The new Superman doesn't give a shit. You know, they've made Superman who doesn't give a shit about humanity anymore, and just like, you know, busts the crap out of buildings and yeah, people die just to overcome General Zod. Is a disgrace in my lifetime. It's a frightening thing.
But it does play into this psychological warfare that is put upon us, in the sense that we are getting used to the fact that we are helpless in face of these enormous forces that some possess. And that's actually how we feel when we go around society, when we think about the state and the government and the armies and all this those things. We feel very helpless, as if we are not able to...
I don't. And you shouldn't either. You
yeah, but
have
if
the
you,
power.
If you watch enough Superman and the big Green Hulk, you probably won't think that way. You probably would think that when it's something that's that powerful, you should not interfere.
No. Unreal, you have the power, and certainly Arrow, and certainly I do. We have the power. It's just these scared, these organizations that think they can sort of overcome and use these brutal forces amongst on us. It's just frightened. It'll end up being some frightened little child at the end who's on the top of the pyramid be going, how did I get here in the first place? You know, it's this pyramidal structure that we're in. Yeah. Don't worry. There's nothing to worry about. You just speak your mind, live your life, enjoy. And I know that Unreal, you're pretty much there, and you, Arrow, you know, you're just one of these, you're just one of the nice guys. And a lot of the guys, like you, Simon Shacks, your, Aberettos, and all the people I've met through these years are just fantastic. Yeah. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, but I think the fact
nothing
that
to worry about.
Don't you think the fact that we understand more of what really happened makes it less frightening? Because then we actually don't have to believe in Superman anymore, whereas the people that does not have our point of view, they actually believe it's something supernatural nearly that happened that day and
there's
in other events too.
So who was the hero, the official hero of 9/11? Who was the official hero of 9/11?
Question, the firemen maybe? That was the one that was played out?
That's true.
You also had Nicolas
That's
Cage
true,
play
yeah,
that
fireman
underneath that fire truck when the towers fell down.
Yeah.
And you must have had
like
loads
group.
Of fake burials for those firemen, because I remember at the time there were many news images of burials for firemen.
And so, it was that Gonzalez guy that was...
exactly.
It was down under the...
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, and he went around the world saying... Yeah, I had
the flesh
boom,
that
boom.
Turned around.
But,
on the...
but there we go. They're all liars.
Yeah,
then you've got the guy that...
But Rollo, do you remember the scary twist he had on his story with the fact that the people he met, they had their skin hanging down from their arms and all this shit?
Heard one the other day where a baby shot out of someone who jumped out. So we had that too. Willie Rodriguez went around the world, and then we had that the father of the he could cry on cue.
Who's that guy?
All right, I shouldn't do it. I did it on Simon Shack's show, and he said, Rollo, grab. Stop being a dickhead. And I went, all right. And Simon Shack tells you that. I went, okay. Oops.
Yeah, but if you think about it, it's like on this kind of an operation like 9/11, it's a little bit like they still are running programs on the Holocaust, which was also a big psyop. So we will have to deal with people coming up with 9/11 stories every year for many, many years to come.
Yeah, because they've created the memorials and everything is in three-dimensional. You can go visit the museums now. Like once you have a museum, it becomes historical fact.
It's very it's a very good way to you know manifest their version of things. You know, when imagine archaeologists they dig up our civilization in 1,000 years. And they'll find all these monuments and buildings in the honor of the victims from that day. I mean, what will they think? Would they think that there were no planes that day?
That's a good question when you think about it, eh? How much of our history will they look at and say, oh my goodness, this is actually from that time when they
So they know they're building history, you know? They know how
but
to do it.
But the thing is, the scary thing is they might say yes. That's an original monument. They will still believe it.
Well, I don't know if you I'm not sure who put out the research, but it appears that even monuments like the Colosseum in Rome are actually suspected of being reconstructions, which means we are not even sure there was an original, you know, because it's just like the dinosaurs. They reconstruct originals, right? But where's the original? Who can see it? Who knows it was there?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, the Colosseum could be a recreation for tourism back in the dying days of the Roman Empire.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't even know if there was an original. If it could be a recreation, it means it could not even have existed.
Oh, so it's just like a... I see what you're saying, yeah.
When you made just a like, copy, the original, it invents itself, doesn't it?
So it was a complete myth.
Hey, the thing with you, you guys, is that I don't care about... Romans or Colosseums or anything like that. The thing is that in my immediate lifetime and the things that I specifically know, and I'll give you an example, is my grandfather. My grandfather was told to go and kill people because he was Irish, that were English, you know? My grandfather was in the IRA. Do you know what the IRA is, you guys?
Internal Revenue Service?
No, it's the Irish Republican Army. Yeah. You guys never heard of that?
Yeah, of course we heard about it.
Yeah, I know that.
Sure. What do you know about it?
Well, they were called the separatists to get Northern Ireland to separate from Great Britain and become part of Ireland, right?
Okay. Or terrorists.
Yeah. Ulster and Belfast. It's funny the Titanic came from there.
And we have all these movies about all that movement too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The name of the father.
My grandfather was against his will.
Was it real? Was it real?
What are you talking about?
Like, was your grandfather really part of that? Or was he part of some...
Why would you ask that question?
Like you're saying he's a witness to what really happened because he was part of that.
Maybe I should, so, I'm talking out of turn. Maybe I should stow this shit and not talk about it. I don't know.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, but you tried to say something about the fact that those events then are real in your view. Is that so, Rollo?
Of course.
It's right.
Like, yeah. You know when you know when you're in aboard or you're in a chain of command, you get told to stow this shit. I'm not in any command. They can all go fuck themselves, as far as I'm concerned. My grandfather was ordered into the, as far as I've been told, into the IRA. He didn't want to, but he had to. How shitty it was back then. I'm Irish. Yeah, that's how crappy it was back then. And I don't know how somehow our family escaped to England and then obviously here to Australia. So there we go. In two generations, we've escaped. When it comes to Catholic versus Anglican, look at them over there. Are they the Ulster Unionists are still fighting the bloody the Orange Men. They're still doing that, but
Ian
they
Paisley.
Just don't promote it anymore.
That's true.
Where's
it was Del? News
Where's
in the
Del
80s and 90s.
Where's Del? Where's Del when we need him? Because, like, if Del was here right now, he would just be absolutely going livid. You don't know what the fucking hell you're talking about, Rollo. And you shouldn't be talking out of turn. When I was down there in Southern Ireland, you know what I did? I was still eating animal flesh. I had the best, breakfast, Southern Ireland breakfast. And you know what it included? Black pudding.
Blood.
Tell me, you two, what's in black pudding?
Blood.
Yeah. Yeah, Errol, do you know what's in black pudding?
I've seen it in the store. They sell it here.
Yeah,
I've never eaten
it
though.
Do you know?
It's dark. It's like a dark matter.
Yeah.
It's like a sausage.
I think Unreal got it first time. Blood.
Oh, it's a blood pudding.
Yeah, blood. Yeah. Delicious.
So it's solid blood?
Oh, yeah. Pig's blood.
From a pork?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not very kosher.
I'll have to try it someday. I'll have to try it someday. So what was your
it's delicious. That's back from when I remember.
So what about the Irish, what about this problem in the Irish economy that's happened recently? Apparently they were doing really well and then all of a sudden it crashed.
Right. Okay, well I'll have to leave the conversation because I can tell you I'm related to Michael Collins, who
Piper?
No, not Michael Collins Piper, who died recently, but Michael Collins, the Irishman. I'm a blood relative of that guy. Yeah, apparently. But Michael Collins Piper, yeah.
And what was he? Yeah. What's his claim to fame? What's Michael Collins' claim to fame?
He stood up to the aristocracy and said, "Like we're not fucking taking it anymore."
Yeah, but you see, we are wittingly or unwittingly, we are all taking the same system. We live in it, and we.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the system always wins.
Yeah, and even when you're emotionally involved, like you seem to be with Ireland, it's like the events there are not any less contrived than anywhere else. That would be too perception of how things really are put in place.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I guess most people, they are unwittingly part of a much bigger picture. And when you like involved in nations, you forget that the people on top, they don't see the world as nations. They just feel that it is one entity that they dominate. And we are left in our small boxes in countries with fake borders and all this, mind structures. Feel identity with this and that, but... really, it's all that is mostly constructed for the way they are planning to manipulate things.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the more and more I think about it, and the more this is get ground, and it's like Groundhog Day. It's like ground down day. You just ground into submission.
And even when you look at your national team play any sports or something like that, and you will feel joy and you will feel frustration, but those are just like created feelings too. It's like you're not any more close to the people in the yellow shirt than the red shirt, really. It's just in your mind.
Unreal. The older and older you get, you just see that they're playing on the same team. I mean, that they're both on the same team.
Yeah, at least we don't have any particular reason to be so emotionally hung up in the different categories they teach us to belong to. You know.
Yeah. There's a wonderful film called The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Let's see that.
Do you remember?
What
that
year
film?
Was that?
1978. It had there were two. There was 1955 one, but the one I like is the one with
Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland and Leonard Nimoy. Leonard Nimoy? Did I get that right? No, the one that played Spock.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, yeah. And what it is Donald Sutherland is there with he's working in a club job, and then what happens? Overnight, something comes down, and everybody changes. Everybody starts changing, but they don't. It doesn't happen like it takes a week or something. And I love it when he goes to his to his dry cleaner. My wife, she is not my wife. I love that bit. And he goes, "Yeah, what's wrong with your wife?" It's not her. It's not my wife. And then, you know, he goes back a week later and then, my wife, she's all better now.
That's what my parents say about me when I start talking about 9/11 and stuff. That's not our son.
Hilarious. Well, but that's the risk you take sometimes, eh?
We didn't teach you to think these things. How come you are thinking such devious thoughts? You shouldn't.
Well, look, the way I look at it, and I'll always look at it until I'm taken over or I'm destroyed, is that 9/11 was, if it was the hugest ritual, Masonic, whatever, or otherwise, I don't want to use any of the common terms, but it was just a common terror hoax, fraud, stage event, bullshit story, and I'll keep saying that until the day I die. It's rubbish, and the people that keep saying that it's a bunch of bloody Arabs, overcoming pilots with box cutters and flying planes into buildings. Well, if you want to believe that, you're fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, it's a film that's worth watching then.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
I'm trying to download it.
Especially at the ending. Especially at the ending.
No. Yeah, films are pretty powerful to evoke emotions and let us attach memories to them. Pretty potent stuff.
You watch the end of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It's got Donald Sutherland going, "Oh!"
Don't ruin the film for me, Ro. I'm going to download it and watch it.
Oh, spoilers. Spoilers.
So, like, film-wise,
that's the best part of the film.
Errol. Hey, spoilers.
That's the best part of the film.
I ruined one film for you. There's a million out there. One.
Can you mention some films that you have found particularly interesting?
Who, me?
Yeah, both of you. You are all...
Yeah, sure. Your favorite film ever.
not favorite, but maybe the films that have made an impact on you. Maybe you didn't like them, but the films that made an impact.
Sure, I got plenty.
Well, I kind of like I like the Stanley Kubrick stuff, although I haven't seen all his films. I like most of Stanley Kubrick's movies.
Is it any film that really changed your state or made you feel different afterwards, or that troubled you?
I know.
Well, it's probably the 1984 film, but I had already read the book a couple of years before, and then the movie came out in the 80s. There's two movies of 1984. I saw the one made in the 1980s, and that was really it just reinforced the book to me, because the book really disturbed me. Just the total lack of individuality in that society. So that's really a book, not a movie, that I found very kind of life-changing.
More the book than the movie.
The book than the movie, but the movie just reinforced the book.
What age did you read that book? Were you pretty young?
We read it in high school. They actually gave us it in high school to read. In 1983.
They wouldn't do that anymore. They wouldn't give that and to the teacher children said, anymore, surely.
The teacher said, I don't know if he was joking, because it was 1983, and he said next year they're taking it out of the course because it will be 1984.
That sounds like a good teacher.
But actually, my son had to read it last year for his grade 12 English, so it's still there. Yeah, they still allow people to read it.
Unedited? Was it?
Unedited, yeah.
Was it
as far as I know.
Yeah, so the same as it was written in 1948. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a movie now, because your question was films. I liked a movie called anything that kind of challenges the standard idea. Like JFK was really, like, blew my mind. That was quite an amazing
JFK,
film.
JFK, the film from Oliver Stone?
Yeah, because that came out in 91, and I wasn't really... I think that started me in this whole interest in conspiracy stuff. I think it was a three-hour movie, and I thought it went by, like, so fast, because I just found it fascinating. So JFK is another one.
Can I just butt in for a sec?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So, Errol, JFK, Oliver Stone's film there was... the official conspiracy theory. It's classic 9/11. So what if you look closely at the Zapruder footage, it doesn't make any sense what you see, apart from the official conspiracy theory is there's a gunman on the grassy knoll. Like, there's no way that the guy did three shots from the sixth floor or from the book depository with a Italian Mangalika Calcano, what do you call it? A sort of bolt action rifle. Bang.
Now you sound like Jim Fetzer.
Bang. I know. I do. I do.
You know all the details. Sorry,
hey,
keep going.
Hey, no high fives on that one. I do, don't I? I'm saying that, yeah. So you kicked the guts out of me. I'll be back. You guys keep on.
Sorry.
I sound like Jim. I've been called worse things, but never Jim.
When I hear Mangalika Calcano, I hear
you
the voice of James Fetzer.
I'll be back.
Okay. Anyway, any other films that I... I'll try to think from another moment. Any films that really I liked this movie about World War II called Das Boot. It's about a German submarine crew.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about that film is that it focuses more on the men and how they worked on the ship, and not on the fact that they're a bunch of Nazis in a sub. You know, they're very human guys.
Yeah. I kind of talked about from time to time the fact that once you can't see something anymore, it's all up for grabs for the people that can write the narration. And I think that the pole expeditions, I think they were contrived and faked. I also think that the U-boats and the submarines are probably mostly fake too, because there is no use of making these boats any longer than that people can see them go underwater, and then up to them what they actually talk about. And when you go back in science fiction, you can see that Jules Verne actually brought up the submarine fiction parts, and it seems like a very fictional scenario that they actually have worked on for a long time for us to take in. And all the stories about the U-boats from Second World War that was months at a time underwater, I mean, it's just not probable, I think. So well, I think it's some kind of a scenario with the U-boats that they try to emphasize all the time. And they are always making up stories about the U-boats stranding here and stranding there and having accidents and everything, planting flags under the poles and everything. I mean, I think much of that is contrived history. I think, like said, when you all those movies that can't come out too, they are pretty convincing to make the point that there are U-boats. And I think there was one of these films also with Ed Harris in submarines. I'm not sure of the name now. Submarines and Aliens. You know the film?
No, I was thinking of Hunt for Red October.
Oh, it's pretty famous, and it's pretty damn good too.
Is it a new film?
No, it's not.
I've seen Hunt for Red October. I can't think of any films with Ed Harris, but it's called what, Submarines?
I'm gonna find the name for it. It's you probably know the film when I'm gonna. Oh.
Let me try to find it on Google.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I have IMDb, but they put it to me in French. So it's like, even if I see the name of the film, I won't actually recognize it.
Oh, Submarino?
No.
You guys are thinking of submarine films?
Yeah, I'm saying that. I think The Abyss.
Oh, it's called Phantom.
Oh, The Abyss. Yeah, what
submarines and aliens,
yeah, awesome.
In the same film, and I think, okay, both is mostly contrived.
Let me see. It's called The Enemy Is Within, Phantom. That's the English.
The film that I'm talking about is The Abyss from 1989.
The Abyss.
Oh, The Abyss.
Mary Elizabeth Master Antonia is his sort of the,
yeah,
the what do you call the So you've got Ed Harris as the male lead, and the female lead is Mary Elizabeth Master Antonia, which is hard to remember, but I remember it because I remember The Abyss, because it's just a fantastic piece of, what do you call it? Computer graphics,
yeah,
back then. Was,
it actually
was
reminds me of the film Gravity for Space. This is like the Gravity underwater at the time, where they put in submarines and aliens in the same film. And
aliens and,
yeah, and submarines. Aliens. I'm not that a big believer in submarines. I think much of the stories we hear about the submarines is actually contrived and fake.
You know, again, it's funny that you should say that. Unreal. Are you still there, Arrow?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah. When we were talking about, when I came back in there, we were talking about Hunt for Red October, all these sort of
submarines,
sort of things, and I didn't want to just butt right in there, but yes, that was a it was a novel by who wrote The Hunt for Red October? Do you remember Unreal?
I didn't even see the film, actually, but it
was an action hero,
yeah,
played by...
Not Frederick Forsyth that wrote the book? I don't know.
There you go. It could have been Frederick Forsyth. I don't know,
but
exactly.
It was Sean
Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy, there we go. We got a Tom Clancy. I think that's a winner. You get $1,000. All right, we get to get for 2,000. You need. let's stick with where Unreal was going with this. The whole submarine thing and the submarine things that we see in the movies. Are you questioning that as bullshit?
Yeah. just look at the article I sent when the Russian U-boat in 2007, it plants the flag under the North Pole.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I think somebody did something about
Admiral Byrd. Somebody did a show about Admiral Byrd, who's the one who went to the South Pole, right?
He tried to go to the North Pole first also, and there are some questions about his accuracy in the sense that he pretends to have done more travel than his than the books have been logged to have made him do. So I think Admiral Byrd is clearly another part of the establishment that are just throwing out these stories, and everybody seems to believe him. And when you think about his name, Admiral Byrd, like the plane, you know, it's like it's ridiculous. It's a contrived name, just like Kubrick. I mean, bricklayer. I mean, these
what
are figures.
What does Kubrick mean?
It's bricklayer. It means bricklayer. It means Freemason.
Oh, of course, mm-hmm. Freemason. Of course.
Yeah, and Admiral Byrd that was flying over the North Pole like a bird. I mean, it's. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah,
you think that's possible?
Kind of, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? The name is really obvious related to what they're doing. Even the guy in Pink Floyd, Nick Mason.
I can tell you an interesting story there. Are you able to put a musical break in or not?
Yeah, I'm posting a link here. Can you just go and look at the photo that I posted?
Yeah. I'll do that.
I can play music.
I'll put the musical break in if you can't do it. You going to do it?
I can. I can put one.
Yeah.
How long do you need?
We'll put in what about Wish You Were Here?
I don't have
that. Oh, yeah. Wish You Were Here is great. Well, or
that's all
or
for my device, portable device. How about Astronomy Domine?
All right, Astronomy Domine. Let's see that one.
Between the blue you watch you or floating down the sound resounds around the icy waters underground. Jupiter and Saturn over on their under on Titania. Neptune, Titan, stars can frighten. Beautiful.
That was
wow.
Pink Floyd. Did you like that, Rollo?
How I wish you were here. We're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl. Errol.
Yeah.
Pink Floyd back then were just like, where were they? Several pigs in a cave. Heard that one? Where they go, boom!
Yeah. Oh, that one, yeah. Power Toh. I got that. Hold on.
Classic tune. But you
I got that one, too. Hold on. Let me just find that one.
You can play that one. You did that very well.
Sample.
It's not the cave that I remember that we were in. Pluto's cave, if you thought about.
Oh, okay.
You're right, man.
Just easy. Okay. That was our musical break.
We've lost Unreal.
No, I'm here.
Oh, there it is.
Well, that was our
musical break. The Russian flag under the North Pole.
Yeah, that's right. I'm with you. I think I like that in the background.
That sounds cool.
We're in a club, so I can imagine that we're in a club where we're in submarines. Like, we're submarines.
We're in a submarine.
Yeah, no, we're down tunes. Below the ocean,
having a coffee
in a bar. And we're smoking cigarettes and drinking I don't know, gin and tonics and like organ shit.
We're talking submarines.
Why not? How to make them damn things? Do you know how many jobs in Australia that rely upon the production of those damn things?
As many as relies on the production of the satellites?
NASA. Exactly. So basically, when you're leaving the surface of the Earth, going either to space or under the oceans, we're suspecting something is not quite right.
Yep, they don't need
so a suspension of disbelief. Is that what it is? No, suspension of disbelief. Sorry, go.
I'm not sure that's the right term, but I get what you're saying.
It's just like on 9/11. It's like once the smoke is up, they own the story. You know. They play the story, they own us, and the same when we get into areas where we no longer have any way of intervening or seeing.
Yeah, good point. Arrow, what do you
That's
think?
That's true. Well, it's like we're taking their word for it, and they go into space or they go under the deep in the ocean. Unless
they
you
love
actually
to be in that
there.
Position because then they really control the narrative. You know, that's their favorite position. So I'm sure they spend loads of money to solidify their visitors.
I'm more inclined to believe the ocean than the other one.
Yeah, but it's like, why would they do the one and not the other? The point.
Yeah, I understand your point, yeah.
Why do they go and plant flags under the North Pole?
Oh, yeah. Well, didn't they take the Nautilus submarine to sail underneath the North Pole to say the United States...
Exactly, and Russia has planted flags there, and the United States, and, you know.
The Nautilus submarine was Jules Verne, right? Journey to the center of the Earth. Let's get there.
Yeah, it's...
And, you know,
the
Verne,
North Pole more likely exists than the South Pole, though, I think. I'm not sure about that.
Burn nearly never backwards, you know.
Oh. What do they call that? An anagram?
Yeah, it's mirrored. It kind of says never.
Hmm. Yeah, I just don't know.
What was the anagram?
Like,
anagram of what?
So... Verne. Jules Verne is never.
Verne is, my favorite anagram is like heart and soul, is earth and sun.
Heart and soul? Earth and
earth
sun.
And sun. Earth and sun. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Wow.
Well, this takes. You can work it out. Soul Sun is Soul One.
Sun is. Well, there's a website that can take names and scramble the letters.
Hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Heart and Soul. Earth and Sun. It's just. There you go.
Well, that's going back to the Earth. I thought you didn't want to talk about that.
Oh, well, I didn't want to talk about it, but you guys are all going on about it. And so, are you going to play some Rush tunes?
The Rush? Will you turn down the music a bit?
Yeah, Rush. I mean,
yeah,
it,
I can turn it down.
Sounds like Rush already in the background.
Yeah, that was just a
what
test
about,
to
how
see
about,
how...
How about my favorite Rush tune? What about... how about... it's got to be... I don't know. What's the one? It's got to be Rush, Rush, Rush. Give me your favorite Rush tune, dude. I can't even think of
like
one Rush.
Digital Man.
No. Nope. The biggest hit. The biggest hit. The radio. It's a radio one. It's like.
Oh, Spirit of the Radio.
Yeah, Spirit of Radio. That's the one. Yeah, that one.
I don't have that
Man,
one.
Man, I'm starting to sound croaky now. Oh, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, croaky. I'm croaky as.
Okay.
I've been up for 3 days.
Oh, that's a lot.
I know.
Why?
Why? For this Why? Moment.
You don't want to take off your pants, huh? Right.
For this, I don't know. Because I'm...
Are you trying to set a world record?
Not really. If you actually look it up on Wikipedia, some kid stayed up over 2 weeks or something. They made him stay up. It was a week. Yeah, without sleeping. And he went to sleep, and then he was okay.
But there are astronauts that has been awake for a year in the International Space Station.
Yeah, well, look.
Oh, they can't sleep up there, right?
They're awake and they can't go to the toilet and they have a
what a guy,
very guy. Interesting lives.
So you can't shit and you can't sleep. You have sex up there.
But
you
can play
what?
A guitar. Yeah, make a song in a music video and post it on YouTube.
What happens if you get
horny?
That's
the kind of stuff you need to do up there.
How do they get it on YouTube? Do they have Wi-Fi
up there? They just post it via a 3D printed, you know, a drone that they just fly down to the studio, and they post it, you know, they make a small USB key that's also 3D printed, and that goes into the drone that connects to a satellite and then, you know, get pulled into the spinning Earth's orbit and then just lands in the studio of the CBS.
Yeah, biggest load of bullshit. Well done. Yeah, it's the biggest load of bullshit we've ever been fed.
No, it's true.
And he should be ashamed of himself. Who, what was his name? The Canadian, the guy that... He was a Canadian guy.
Yeah, let me see. Canadian astronaut.
But the most
astronaut, yeah.
Chris Hadfield.
Chris Hadfield.
Chris Hadfield.
Yeah.
So what is his name?
He should be ashamed of himself.
Hadfield. Hadfield. Is there a meaning in that name? Field Hadfield.
Hadfield.
I'm going to do an anagram of Hadfield. Anagram solver. Okay. And I'll put in...
What's his first name?
Let's take Chris. I'll do his last name first. Hadfield. Submit.
While you're doing it, type in Jeff C. J-E-F-F-C. He's a Canadian that thinks he's something. Jeff
There's
C,
no anagrams?
Chris. No anagrams for Chris Hadfield? Oh.
That's impossible.
Oh, impossible?
It's got to be. I'm going to go to a different anagram.
Do you remember the three guys that came back from Apollo 11?
Clint Eastwood and Ed Harris and the other guy?
Who?
Oh, no, that was Cowboys in Space. I'm sorry.
No, Cowboys in Space was fun. But who were the three guys that came back from Apollo 11? Do you remember?
Armstrong,
Crosby,
and,
Stills, and Nash.
Aldrin,
No, Crosby, Stills, and Nash is very funny, but not the correct answer. Yeah, go on, Real.
Yeah, it was Armstrong. And Buzz Aldrin, and the third one I don't remember.
Yeah,
Collins.
Remember. No,
Phil Collins.
Yeah. Michael Collins. Okay,
and
so
he's
Michael
in the
Collins.
IRA.
Well, there you go. There's see.
What was it, Phil Collins?
Again, you've done a tangent on that. Because Michael Collins is, he's an IRA. Anyways, just to stick to where I started. Those three guys were so, they seemed so miserable when they came back. They didn't seem happy. You know, I mean, you've done something so spectacular to go to the moon and come back. Why didn't they seem happy? You know what I mean?
It's because they were not very comfortable with their actor roles.
They weren't actors, were they? They were actually fighter pilots and given a job they didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
You've done something so special. You're supposed to come back. You're supposed to be happy, happy, happy. I've been to the moon.
They should have told us all about it, you know, so.
Yeah, you're right.
But
what was the official story that they weren't jumping up and down? What's the story, that they were having jet lag or something?
Could have been jet lag, like moon jet lag. Yeah, but they never gave that to us.
I think they were in some kind of a containment center for a while before they made that conference. So it's like could be that they explain it that way, but I don't think that the general public then asked so many questions. I mean, they just looked on TV. The pictures are really bad and the quality is quite low. So it's like they probably cut it up too when they put it in the news. Like you had some answers from one and some answers from the other. So it's like I don't think the general public was suspect of what actually was happening. It's just like 9/11. We didn't ask so many questions about the witnesses we heard interviewed that day, did we?
Yeah. Hey, Unreal. And another classic is Michael Collins, who supposedly never even went to the lunar surface. He kind of orbited. And when he was asked, did you see the stars, Michael? And he said, no, I don't remember seeing any. You know, he was in a different role, but he didn't even know.
Well, it was he didn't have the right script.
He didn't have the right script. Yeah. He just went. No, I don't remember seeing any. And then they kind of try to fob that off. But unfortunately, NASA is a lying organization. And where did you want to go with this conversation after this? I know this is upsetting to a lot of people. It's like, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or, I don't know, all the other mythical things? Sorry. They're fake.
Yeah,
I believe in a creator.
Oh, you believe in God, do you?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, good for you. Let me give you a big hug.
I'm not against
give me a love bomb.
Sort of Catholic priest, I'll just pretend you're like a four-year-old boy. What do you call a four-year-old altar boy? Let me give you a nice big hug. Yeah, that's.
But you understand the name of the thing is like the altar is to alterate you, you know. So all a break.
Yeah.
But Aril, you say you believe in a creator. That doesn't mean you believe in the books that the different people have been writing to rule us.
Yeah, I'm suspecting that. Otherwise, I'll get a punch in the mouth by Aril right now.
Oh no. Because those books say you shouldn't do that. Even if somebody doesn't believe, you should try to win them over with God's love or with God's wisdom.
But is it like you believe in a creator and you believe that the books are telling a true story? Or
I have definitely believed it literally. Right now, I'm very questioning the sources. And because I have friends who are very religious and some of them are very like they say it's every word is from God and other people say, well, it depends how you interpret it. So I don't like to be so strict on it, if you know what I mean. Like I'm a believer. I am a Christian. I'll basically say that. But I don't have it all figured out, you know.
I must say myself, it's like when people say they believe in something, I'm not into it anymore because you have to know something. And what we know is that those books, they have been faked time after time after time during the centuries. So when somebody is still left with the feeling that there's some truth in there, I mean, not standing up then.
I agree. On the other hand, unreal.
On the other hand, if you believe that there is something, somebody that is a creator that's behind what we are living, fine. But it's not going to be in a book. The fish doesn't know water. It doesn't know what it's swimming in. And the creator, if there is one, he wouldn't know what a person is, you know? So there's no son of no God. There's not all that's just stories made for man. And they're put in books. That was the first media they could propagandize. So
Aril,
I'm sorry
to be
blunt, but I just think
Catholic?
that people that believe in such
Protestant
books, they have something completely wrong.
Are you Catholic or are you Anglican or who are you from? What faith?
I'd be the non Catholic, the
well, I'm
not
just saying
Catholic,
that.
But
look, the only thing I can say to you is like if I'm a little boy and you're a practicing Catholic, which means that you have to be, what do you call it? You can't sleep with anyone. What's the thing you do as a human male? You end up just getting so god pent up. What do? You end up fucking the altar boys.
It's
just the way it is. I mean, everyone's known it from years gone by. I mean, like, for a man to say that you're supposed to be, what do you call it? What's the word that means that you can't have sex with someone? I can't think of the word.
Chastity, no?
Yes. Well, it's ridiculous, isn't it? A man is going to get horny.
But
he'll fuck anything.
That's how it is in the Catholic churches, is that so? I know that in Protestant churches they have the right to marry and everything.
I know, it's ridiculous. It's
All of the different sects have their own, you know, interpretation of what
it's handy that way. Said. It's like they have one book and they all, you know, interpret it differently and they all alter it the way they feel. At the end of the day, it's just a means to control the imagination of people. And when people don't know anything and just go around and they believe stuff, I mean, it's easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's game over when you start to just believe and not know anything. So if those people are Christians, they could go out and research and find a proof of the existence of Jesus, for instance. That would be interesting. Because there isn't
we live
much.
In a time and place, Unreal. We live in a time and a place where we can research anything. We've got the internet. Everything
exactly.
is available to us.
But that's not
the day.
That's not on the agenda of people that are already have accepted to believe stuff, you know?
Yeah,
they don't even want to know anything anymore. They are faithful believers. They spell it out. They don't need to know anything, and they don't want to know anything. They just want to believe and be in their own bubble. That doesn't mean that that there's not good values in religion and everything. That it could be they have value systems that are better than what we are pushed upon today. Yeah, I agree in that, but I don't agree in the fact that you should start to believe something. You should know something.
Tell me something. Tell me something I don't know. Tell me something I don't know.
Now,
what I had for dinner.
I don't know.
Yeah, Errol is right. What music I'm listening to when this show is over.
All right, music.
okay.
I'm sorry to be upset about religion, but I kind of am, and I am also upset about all the people that accept that others should believe what they want. I mean,
don't
shouldn't.
Think I brought religion up. I think it was Errol that brought it up. It wasn't me.
Well, I was looking for it a bit too. I had to ask if Errol was believing in the book.
The good book.
The
yes.
Babel. I mean, it says Babel on
the
book. The
Babel.
The Bible. You know?
The Babel.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things can be said about the Bible that can... argue
well,
against it.
At some point, it becomes a duck, you know? If it's all the things a duck do at the end, it's a duck.
And when a child is, when it dribbles on itself, it's called a bib, right? A bib. You know, a child, when it spews up a little bit. It's,
well, that's the compilation of all the, right now it's 66 books. Which they call the Bible, but originally it wasn't 66, which there you go is a Masonic or a Illuminati number.
Of course.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he created, let there be rock!
Let there be rock.
You remember that song?
Good one. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, that's AC/DC, right? Let there be rock.
That's right.
AC/DC, right? That's like
they're Australian.
I'll go either way. I'd fuck you. I'd fuck you know your sister. It's like I'll do anything to anything. AC/DC is like yeah, I'll do anything to anything.
But
sorry.
Aren't they Australian?
That's pretty harsh. Yeah.
AC/DC aren't they Australian or they're not?
Yeah. Well, they're Australian, kind of. Three of them were Scottish.
Just tell me, Rollo, that you don't wear the same shirt, shorts.
Don't wear the same shorts.
No, Rollo, that he doesn't wear the same shorts as the guy in AC/DC.
Why not?
Or the same cap.
Why not?
I just think it looks ridiculous and makes us go back to being infants somehow. Looks like it comes out of kindergarten, you know?
My next YouTube video I'm going to do for you, Unreal.
Air guitar solo?
Yeah, I'm going to wear shorts and and a cap, and I'll do it for you. Yeah. And I'll send you the email. You're the best. Well, I'm going to continue on with this thing, because we're on the live stream. That you know that everything we said here is going to be recorded by... our old mate, Fakeologist. How much Fakeologist are we talking about tonight?
I'm surprised he hasn't showed up.
He was on the schedule, so he doesn't keep his schedule every day.
Or maybe he's listening.
He was supposed to be here. All right, well, I'll hang here until he gets here.
At the same time, I think that Ab just put up those schedules to test if it was working, program-wise right. on the computers. But it is a good idea.
Well,
Forest Value had a really good idea to make us go and check out schedules to see when people have, planned to go online so we can meet up more easily.
Brilliant. Well, look, I know Errol... as sweet as he is, and as sweet as you are, Unreal, is that I was actually in the middle of playing a pre-record. Can you believe that? I was in the middle
pre-record.
Yeah.
You can go ahead, because I gotta drop out now. So
All
if
right.
you want to do
yeah,
that.
I think I'm going to also say goodnight
right,
here in... In Paris, it's getting late. I think for you in Canada, how late is it?
It's 7:40 p.m.
Yeah, so
it's 7:40 p.m.
In Australia, what time is now? Is it 8 o'clock or something?
It will be 9:40 a.m.
Yeah, so we really spread out. I'm in the night, and Rollo, you're in the morning, and Errol,
in the morning,
in late afternoon.
So hopefully, if Ab... is doing his job, or his little recording thing is doing his job, it will be recorded. But I'm pretty sure, Errol, you've got pretty
I'm
much
recording
most
it
recorded
since I came
anyway.
In. Yeah, I recorded it since I came in, so I have a copy.
Yeah. Whether,
but I'm sure Ab will have one people. Up by tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ab will have it up in the morning, so you can listen to
Excellent.
It from his site. Okay, guys.
All right.
Okay, nice speaking
to
you, Errol.
Yeah,
nice talking to you guys.
Bye bye.
Yeah.
It was a good chat.
See you, Rollo. Right. Yeah. Bye.
Yep. Bye.
All right. See you. Bye bye.
Bye. So here I am, all again, all alone again. So I was halfway
Rollo?
Through.
Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'll let you go. Have a good night.
I'm
just messing with you, Rollo.
You cheeky just monkey. Messing. Cheeky monkey. Bye. Okay. Take two. I was halfway through a
Rollo.
Yes. I don't know what the Unreal's up to. Okay, here we go.
Hello?
Okay. What was going on there? I have no idea. Okay. The second half of... pretty much second half. I don't know whether it's deserving to be on Fakeologist or not. But this is me. That was unreal. Okay, here we go. You still there, bro?
Yeah, still here.
Oh, you're the
kiss.
You're the best. I don't know how you would hang around after the. What a great tune.
I actually went up and went to the bathroom. So.
Me too. Me too. I actually went and threw up.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I've been up all night and talking bullshit to a lot of people. Hey, you know what time it is here in Australia right now?
I think you're 1 hour ahead of me. It's
Guess what time it is. Right now. Give me the time.
9 o'clock in the morning.
9:11, mate.
Oh, that's funny. It's 8:11 here.
I know. I wanted you to hear, I wanted to hear you say 9:11. Come on.
Yeah,
it's true, right?
Funny.
It's 9:11 a.m. here, right? And where is
it?
And where you are, it is?
8:11.
Yeah, of course. I always thought that was funny. When I was talking to Ab, it was always like he would do a 9/11 show, or and other people would do everything their shows at
11 past the hour. And I go, well, that was always fun to do. Like, you know.
I'm not that deep into 9/11. 9/11 was one of the reasons I left the United States. But I don't really obsess about 9/11. That's not really my thing.
Brian, what is your thing, man? Let's hear it.
The thing that I always want to talk about is something that Ab never wants to touch,
which is
spirituality.
Right.
I don't know. I see something spiritual happening here, and I don't know what it is.
Right.
That's my thing. And Flat Earth is one of those topics. I was actually onto Flat Earth a couple of years ago, and you think it gets laughs now. Oh, my God, it got laughs 2 years ago.
Did you hear Tom Dalpra talking the other day?
I've got it. I've downloaded it, but I haven't listened to it yet. What did he say?
He went, you know, I can do this now because I've heard I call old Halloran. You know, he did as an English guy, he did a very good accent that you said that you got from where did you get your accent from?
Oh, I'm a native New Jerseyan.
Is he?
Yeah, just
yeah, and Tom would love to know that. It doesn't sound like a New Jersey accent to me.
It's New Jersey.
Yeah. Look, I'm not calling you out to be a liar, and I do that quite often with a lot of people that I I do because I think a lot of us should do that. So you're a liar. Not that you did you hear the David Weiss?
I did.
Yeah, okay. Actually, all right. Give me your thoughts
Hoi Polloi.
Yeah.
Really asking very pointed questions to David Weiss. And that's actually what got me onto Ab's site and onto Ahim's podcast was that I knew something about 9/11, and there were a couple things that I could confirm about David Weiss's story. So I actually started scrambling, looking for, you know, like some way to log on. I didn't know how to log on or, you know, because Hoi Polloi was asking him some really pointed questions and they were doubting his story. There were a couple things that I could confirm about it. So that's how that's how I came back on the radar.
Right.
So, I did listen to it though.
And you got 10 years ahead of me. What was your favorite song when you were 5 or 6? Do you like the Beatles or the...
I didn't listen to music that young, dude. Five, 6 years old?
No.
Kindergarten. And listen to music back then.
No. What about Simon Shack? Have you ever heard of any of his songs?
Yeah, I have. The Round and Round. And I've been actually meaning to look into that album. I just don't listen to music anymore.
All right.
Yeah, I think it was Kahem that played his song Round and Round, and I really enjoyed it. I've actually since heard a couple songs off of his new album, and they were really good.
I guess where do I go with this? It's like you don't want to talk about 9/11. You want to talk about spirituality.
No.
Now, spirituality to me is like, look, if you know anything about me, I live in a treehouse.
Yeah.
Come and visit me, and it's a lovely place to be. I've got my favorite bird, which is my wife.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I've got all the other birds that come and visit me. I bribe them a little bit. Seed, what most young men do, they pump their seed into. That's how we have little babies, don't we? We never even know.
Cutting out. Yeah, I'm not sure what kind of mic you're using, but you're cutting out. Like every fifth word is edited out.
Okay, we'll go again.
Switch to I don't know what you're talking through, but I'm losing like every other not every other word, like every fifth word.
Check 1, 2.
No, I heard that. Check. Oh, thanks.
1, 2. I think I got a little bit excited, and TeamSpeak, it's a little bit upset if I talk too quickly.
Take your time, dude.
No, so,
my wife
it's okay. I'm going to have to. No, you're right, dude. About the birds.
beds in the bay. Or
Rolo, if you want to talk about 9/11, it's okay with me.
All right, then. All right. Well,
you know, I literally have nothing to do. I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
All right. Well, I haven't really prepared my mind to go into a deep 9/11. And I'm not philosophical. I'm talking about physical. I mean, you're going to talk about liars and scumbags like Judy Wood and all those scum. Okay. Are you prepared to do that?
I'm familiar with her work. I happen to be partial to Simon Shack. On my podcast, I really talked up on September Clues. Go ahead.
Look, if you're prepared for that conversation, you're going to have to listen to this song first, right? Because I was made for loving you, and you were made for loving me. Okay?
Yes.
You
Love me. Oh, come on, baby.
Gene Simmons, Peter Criss, Ace Frehley, and who's the last guy?
Yes. Oh, my God. I never do a cut. When I do audios, and I give him dab, and half the time he doesn't take them because I'm way too fucking wasted and drunk and whatnot. But I just do them on my own. But like Halloran, it's lovely to have someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Real.
I don't know, dude. It's very difficult to find people that question things, and it's always nice to talk to someone who is questioning what's going on. I don't have a lot of friends. I mean, you know, being in Korea, I don't speak fluent Hangul, and so the only people that I know are teachers, and they're asleep. Yeah. My best friend here in Korea is completely asleep, and so it is always nice to talk to someone who's questioning things.
All right. Give me one second. And just talk amongst yourselves. Say something like count to 10 in Hangul. Can you do
count
it?
Count to 10 in Hana dual set net dasa ya. I'm gonna have to
do it right. And then now count backwards.
Go yado. Oh yo. I can't count backwards in Hangul. Wait a second. Wait. Hana dual set net dasa yasa ilgo yado. Oh yo. Oh my God, I can't do it. Nuna, can you count to Hangul? Count from 1 to 10 in Hangul.
There you go. Backwards. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Yeah, in the Hangul language. Yeah, backwards. Yeah, backwards. Not Hana dual set net dasiyasa. No. 1 to 10. 1 to 10. Hana dual set net dasiyasa ilgo yado aho yo. But backwards, Nuna. Oh, yeah. 10987654321, but in Hangul. Yeah. Even my wife had to think about it.
That's awesome.
Funny. No, it's just a joke. I'm just talking to a guy on the internet, and he's just joking. So I think he's trying to figure out whether I'm real or not. So,
oh, Hangji. Yeah, Hangji, right? Okay. So let's go through the let's go ga, it's ka, and then na, then da, huh? Then la, na.
What?
Then
Rolo,
ma.
What in the world is that?
Ma. This is I learned this after I listened to you. Ba, ma, and the sa, ah, sa, and ah, ah. I've got it written here. It where the pronunciation goes. Down, up. This is Hangji, which is, and I looked it up. Okay, so you go, Joe.
Oh, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And these are the, I don't know, they're the first,
phonic sounds of the Hangul.
Yeah. So do you want to go to the start again? It's G-A-H. This one is, and it's pronounced, ka.
Ka. Ka. Yeah? The word and ka then, means go.
Yeah. And the next one is N-A-H, and it goes, nah. Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the third one is D-A-H, but it sounds like ta. Yeah, ta. Yeah. And then the next one is la, and the next one is ma, M-A-H, ma. And then ba. Ba. Yeah, and then sa.
Are you reading this off a page right now?
I wanted to learn this because I wanted to talk to you.
It's better. You said you're better to use English. Yeah, if you want Hangul lessons, I'll put the headset on my wife.
Okay.
Yeah, she'll talk Hangul to you all day.
Will she talk dirty Hangul to me?
No, she won't.
All right, that's okay. That's me just being a fucking asshole. Hey, you're right, man. You're not an asshole. Seem like one of the world's nice guys.
I try.
Well, yeah, and then sure. When you get your breath back, you try again. I know. I'm an asshole. And who sung that song? So give me, before we go to our next music, and you can choose the next music song, but your favorite song, because I know you're not into music anymore, O'Halloran.
Wait, I'm looking for it. Hold on. I do have a favorite song.
Don't have one. You can put it into the show.
The name of the song is called Heartbeats.
Heartbeats. I heard.
And I don't remember his name.
I've got a lovely piano song in my mind that I would like to hear now. Is Walking in Memphis. Did you ever like Elvis or anything to do with Elvis?
Never an Elvis guy. I was always, coming out of high school in the early 80s. So it was always like Van Halen and Pink Floyd and Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
But this guy's name is Jose Gonzalez.
Jose Gonzalez.
Enjoy this. Right? I'm going to link it.
Pump through the link. Yeah, and I'll play it. Gonzalez, Heartbeats. Look forward to this.
Pasting it in the lobby chat.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah. Hey dude.
That is a great song.
If that is a great song, me and you are going to be the bestest friend. So let's just put that on right now. And is my pinky finger right now? Is it in yours? It better be.
It is.
All right. Okay. This is a good song, right? Here we go.
You're going to really enjoy it. The opening song for my first podcast.
The blades are the same, but shaving never will be.
Song is magic.
Yeah, man. What's going on? How awesome was that?
I love that song.
Jose Gonzalez, Heartbeat. I haven't had time to digest all the love and awesome stuff with that. That's 70 million views. I can't believe I have never heard that song. I must have heard it. I know songs that I've heard. There are squillion songs out there that I haven't heard. It was nice to hear that. Thank you, Halloran. And, all right, well, just, you know, you've gone up one notch in my estimation of you. I just, you know, just because, like, I like music, and you obviously do too, and you've got a lovely wife, and I do too. Okay? All right, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I didn't come on to TeamSpeak with any agenda. Right. I just came on because I was bored. Okay. Usually there's no one on here.
So, well, you know what? You know what?
Yeah.
My name's Rollo. Whenever you're around me, you will never be bored. You'll be annoyed, pissed off, happy.
Disgusted.
Joyful. Yeah, disgusted. Joyful. You know, or, you know, absolutely out of your mind with joy. But you'll never be bored. Bored is, I don't know, explain bored to me.
The lack of anything interesting to do or think about or talk about.
Yeah. Even in your board, again, I hate to be a fucking prick about it, but I like board. Like, I've got, is that boring? I'm no good on percussion. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't. Oh. Bouncing a ball up against the wall?
Something like that. Is that boring?
Yeah. That's pretty boring.
You know, motherfuckers learn how to play baseball, and they can smash the ball out of the park.
You like computers?
Back in the day.
Are you a computer guy? Huh?
Oh, I used to be back in the day. I'm an old man.
If my wife's trying to tell me something. What's that, Nuna? No? Oh, okay. Yeah, I build them, and I just recently put a new operating system in, the one that I'm talking to you through. And it's excellent. It's Linux Mint 17.2. I just put it in the other day, and sublime. And it's one of the best operating systems I've ever used. Probably the best.
There we go.
Well, that's, I don't know. Some people are into that. Some people are not. So it sounds.
Hey, look. If that's what you're into, me and you.
It's a hobby, you know.
It is, and that's the next song. That's the next song. You just reminded me of one of my favorite songs. What we're into. We're into. So, tell us, Linux. Yeah, it is a. It's not Microsoft. It's not Apple. It's a sort of open source type operating system, right?
Yeah, okay. Most people don't even make that deduction. Good for you.
What's that? Again.
Most people don't even make that deduction. When I say Linux, they don't understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we'd already had that discussion. I'm IT guy. If you haven't listened to some of my conversations, like with Ab, like the people I lost, like the guys, the Silicon Valley guys I know. Like, I know a guy that drives a Lamborghini and his license plates are TCP/IP.
Oh, that's really funny.
Oh, well, fucking funny. It's like the best. But, it's a shame that we fell out of love because of 9/11, but that's all. I'm pretty sure I made that perfectly clear. I went to uni with a lot of guys that have made that are squillionaires now.
You're a programmer?
I know they are, but what do I do about it?
Rollo, you're a programmer?
I was. Yeah, C. Yeah. And then C++ back in the day.
I tried my hardest to learn that that crazy language.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't get my head around it. I should try again.
Well, C was a little open-ended, and then when they brought C++, and it was like when you object oriented sort of kind of made everything so awesome. Whenever you structured a bit of code, you just went, "Oh, look, there's one way in, one way out." So how to talk to you about it without being boring? Back in the day, it was called spaghetti code.
I don't know about anyone else listening to this, but you've got me, and now you've got my full attention.
Yeah, well. Back in the day. Anyway, what was the next? Look, is what you're into. I haven't even got this next song queued up. But that was the fun stuff. That was the fun stuff. Changing my mindset, which is when you were coding, when I was a real youngster, I was like into Basic.
You know, I missed that whole thing in the 80s and the 90s. I was an athlete.
Do you remember Basic, though?
I remember it. I got an A in the class.
Yeah, beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
I can remember, but it was way back in like 1984. I took a class in Basic, and I got an A in the class. And I think I got an A in the class because the teacher liked me. You know, I don't remember coding anything. I don't remember coding anything.
Did you plow her?
No, I did not.
Good man.
The funny thing is that she was asking for essays, and I'm actually a pretty good writer, and I would write her comedy stories that her and her husband would read. They would sift through all the students' essays looking for mine, and they would read it, and they would laugh. I think that's why I got an A in the class, because I don't remember any kind of hardcore coding. But I took that class because it was a requirement, but it was later later where I got out of my athletic stage, and I met a couple guys that were making good money by programming, and so I tried to look into it. But at that time, computers were just foreign to me. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I just didn't get it. And it was hard to get into. I couldn't figure out how to get into it. Like, there was no internet back then. And I saw all these people doing these computer things, and I'm like, how do you get into that? You know, like,
yeah.
And I just didn't understand it. I mean, it wasn't until years later where I just picked up a magazine. I think it was Maximum PC Magazine. And in the magazine, they taught you how to build a PC. And I thought to myself that if I wanted to learn computers, I might as well learn how to build one first. And I became a hardware junkie. But when it came to programming, I just bought a book, you know, like Sam C++ in 24 hours.
You were jamming the chips to get like an Apple IIe or like building or we call them wombats down here. Hey, but let me just put a song on before we continue on with this. Hey,
do you
want to continue on a little longer?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, dude, it's too much fun. And hey, if it's what you're into. This is one of my favorite songs. One of my favorite tunes.
You didn't need to do that.
Would you mind help?
That's so sweet.
It's called If You're Into It.
Okay.
If you want to, I can hang around with you. Keep following you. That's what you're into.
You and him, him and you. If that's what you're into, him hanging round, around you, you're hanging round, yeah, you're there too.
And if you want me to, I will take off all my clothes with you, I'll take off all my clothes with you, that's what you're into.
How about him, in the nude, if that's what you're into, in the nude in front of you, is that what you'd want to view?
If that's cool with you, I'll let you get naked too, could be a dream come true, providing that's what you are into.
Is that what you're into? Him and you, in the new. That's what he's prepared to do. That's the kind of thing that you think you might be into.
And then maybe later, we'll get hot body refrigerator. In the kitchen next to the pantry. You think that might be what you fancy?
In the club, being rude. Doing stuff with the food. Getting blue with the food. We heard that's what you are into.
Bet on our next thing. You could bring your roommate, I don't know what's juice king, but if you want, we could double team you.
How about you and two dudes, him, you, and she, in the new, being new, two dudes, well, that's if you've been to it too.
All the things I do for you, if I am a new, that's what you're into.
Listen to the next hour or two. With me and Lenny Leverhulme, good times, chatting away superbly, I might say. It's like better than I could ever do. I just cut it short there. If that's what you're into. Okay. I want to thank tonight. Who do I thank? Obviously, O'Halloran. from the start and the middle, and then in the no start at the end. In the middle, we have to thank Unreal and goodness, my budgerigar's going off. Whoever was in the middle there, it was wonderful that we had the. Who was it? I can't remember. Too drunk. Too much fun. But don't forget, 9/11 was an inside job. It wasn't only an inside job. It was a staged event, a terror hoax fraud staged event. So if that's the last thing I'll ever say in my life, yes, 9/11 was a terror hoax stage fraud staged event. My friend Kaham, my friend, obviously, Aberrato, him, and maybe Simon Shack and Hoy and Clues for him. Over and out.
Hi, I'm Pablo Novi of 911truthdialogue.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.